awesome morning party.
Get ready, gentlemen. Brace yourselves. This is it. 3, 2, 1.
Good morning. Welcome to Team Awesome Morning Party. It's a new day. And God is good.
He is. He's... Either this mic or these headphones smell weird.
Oh, man.
Yeah, cool. Thanks, Dan. Who's the last one? Is it Dan that's the last one here?
Yeah, six to midnight.
Well, logically, it has to be Dan because Celeste, she smells too good.
Yeah, and Mitch always smells like...
Mitch's air has, her air is great too, and it's usually wafted away.
It's one of us.
It could be me.
It's one of us boys.
What if it's just me? I'm smelling my I'm smelling my upper lip.
Did you take a shower this morning?
Yeah.
Oh, okay,
I did.
I did too, man. High five.
Yes, clean.
Yes.
Also got a haircut yesterday.
You did.
If you'll tune into the webcam, you'll see that I bleached my hair blonde. And I've shaved it into giant stripe-looking things. It's pretty
cool.
Gosh,
I wish we had some Sugar Ray in here right now. See? See?
I just want to fly.
What do I really want, baby?
Don't say that on the radio.
Okay.
Don't say that.
People Sugar get Ray? Upset.
No, put your arms around me, baby. Oh. People are like, hey, hey, that's romantic or something.
Now I'm gonna have Sugar Ray in my head all day.
You did it to yourself.
I had that in high school. I had the Mark McGrath. I had the Sugar Ray.
The frosted tips.
Yeah, with spiky hair.
When I was a senior, I looked like a weirdo. I looked like a frosted tip, skinny, like part of a table. Because I was so skinny. I looked like a chair. That makes sense. Like a chair leg. Like a table leg. That's how skinny I was. You think I'm skinny now? You should have seen me in high school. It was ridiculous.
Oh, man. Hey, speaking of school.
Whoa!
Last night was senior night in the pit. UNM Lobos taking on Air Force. And saying goodbye to three seniors. Kendall Williams, Cameron Bairstow, Chris Perez.
Oh.
Chris Perez last night had like this double fake out move at the end. And rocked this layup for two, and the pit went nuts. It was great. It was great.
Man, it was a great game. We watched it.
Yeah.
I know, didn't Celeste and Mitch actually go to the game?
Yeah, they were at the game.
And then Celeste posted a thank you to the people that spilled nacho cheese all over her purse and her jeans.
Oh. Okay.
Poor Celeste.
Well, we won by 28.
Dang,
so,
dog.
I would say that they definitely went out in style. Cam led the Lobos with 21 points.
Don't mess with the Lobos.
You don't mess with them!
They are loud as hell! And the pit is a crazy place to be. And I've never been, but I've dreamed about it.
I know.
I've seen it on the TV.
It was great that Mitch and Celeste had tickets last night, and it's the final home game, and you've never experienced it. And
it's okay. I'm a servant. I've got a servant's heart, and I was like, guys, you guys just go to this. I'm going to sit home. I got some feet to wash. I got to go build an ark.
You can blame me.
I have tons of biblical things to do. I looked up in the sky and saw this weird UFO chariot thing, and I'm pretty excited about that. I got to figure that out. I might have to eat some poop and get a flaming tongue.
Oh, man.
I got tons of stuff to do, so you guys go to the game. And they were like, that's cool, and I said, hey, also, I'm writing this book. It's going to be a sequel to another book, and it's going to be cool. Are you interested? And they were like, hey, quit trying to sell us stuff. And I was like, I'm not trying to sell you anything. I'm just trying to tell you about an exciting opportunity that people are excited about and you can be involved in. And it works like this. If you get this from me and then you sell it to six people, then not only do you make money, I get a little bit, but you make so much money.
That's called a pyramid scheme.
No, it's not.
You don't want to get involved in those things.
It's shaped more like a diamond because when you get to the bottom, the last person isn't making anything.
Right.
They are nothing.
They're like the intern.
Well, they're like, oh, it's like Doug, and he's over there, and he's selling stuff.
Right.
And then his stuff, you know what? He makes stuff, but it goes backwards up. So what he sells, he actually gives the money to the people above him. And then it comes to me in the middle where whoever's in the middle is making a lot of money. I'm actually at the top.
Okay.
Doug the intern down there at the bottom. Who's in the middle?
That's like a pyramid scheme.
2.0. She's in the middle, and then I'm like, 2.0, you give me a share of what you're making. And she's like, no, I just
Nobody's doing this.
I do Surge, and it's the best. Blah, blah, blah. Chris Chicago copied me. And then I'm like, hey, no, give me part of your stuff. Give me a 15th. A 15th.
Wow.
Because you're already giving a 10th to somebody else.
This is incredible.
That's how it works. If you'd like to be involved in something like that,
oh, man.
Give us a call.
You don't have a pyramid scheme. I would never take part in anything like that.
Guys, it's not a pyramid scheme. It's just part of First Dave's ministry.
Oh, okay.
Gosh. First Dave's is my Facebook cult.
Nobody has any idea what you're talking about.
Steve
does.
Are going
to start taking you seriously, and we're going to lose people.
No, they're interested. First Dave's is really exclusive. If you haven't gotten invited, then you might not get an invite.
Oh,
you
man.
Can't just happen upon the page on Facebook.
That's
and
true.
If you do, it's like this is a closed group. You got to get invited by the administrator. And guess who that is?
You.
Mateo.
Speaking of First Dave's, on the way, we got some Waverly. But kudos to the Lobos for winning in the pit. Ending the season here anyways.
Yes.
Well, we're playing Saturday night, 8 p.m. against San Diego State.
That's going to be
on CBS Sports that I don't have.
That's going to be a big game.
It is.
That's going to be a big one because...
Okay. We're going to that guy's house, apparently.
Okay.
It doesn't start till 8 p.m.
If the Lobo... Oh, man, that's daylight
8
saving.
8 p.m., so 9 p.m.
It's daylight saving.
Yeah, don't forget, people. Daylight savings this weekend. I always set my clock on Saturday to where I just try and ease myself into
it. Not me.
We're going to be so confused.
My iPhone does it for me.
Well, yeah.
It does, and but not just that phone. I think most smartphones now, I have
Before
an experience.
Before I go to bed, though, I pretend like it's that next hour.
Yeah, not me.
Oh, you
no,
have to.
I lose
yes.
the hour
no,
in my sleep.
No.
So I can wake up the next morning and be like, I got to do this. Gives me mission.
Oh, man.
I'm missional when it comes to daylight savings time.
Wow.
I'm sorry, everyone.
We got a great show today. I'm excited. It is Theology Thursday. Pastors Jarrett Petro and Brian Nixon, they've been texting and talking, and I love this.
They are. They didn't text me. Thanks, guys.
Brian was thinking some things to talk about today are movies like Noah, like Son of God.
Oh, we haven't
Jarrett's talked. Ideas were... biotechnology and nanotechnology.
What?
Not sure if he was serious or not, I took him seriously, and I just started Googling quantum physics.
Oh, how was
and,
that? Did you look
great.
Up string theory?
No, I just watched a bunch of episodes of Quantum Leap, actually.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about what it's like when Sam goes back in time and changes the past, because you're not supposed to change a past, because that's already set, but it's your future that's not set. Which is Terminator.
Right. Mm-hmm. It sounds exciting, and I am interested.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be good, so that's coming up today. Of course, you know, the regular shenanigans.
I can't wait to complain when they get here.
Yeah.
I can't wait, because they didn't text me.
I know, I'm sorry.
And I'm going to complain.
Here's what you got to do.
What?
Give them one more try.
Yeah, I got to yell into the mic.
It's Team Awesome Morning Fire.
Now!
Static!
Turn on the news.
I have a little news flash.
We interrupt for this breaking news.
Breaking news for you on a Thursday. Who cares?
Boom.
The Lindsay Lohan reality show debuts this Sunday.
Okay.
Are you interested?
Nope.
Good. Because you have better things to do.
If I was going to watch a reality show, I'd watch The Wahlburgers.
What is that?
That's that new Marky Mark and Donnie Wahlberg reality show about his family. They got like a burger joint or something.
No.
I'm not kidding. It was on last night. And I'm like, Mark Wahlberg's on TV!
Oh.
Everybody stop talking! Oh, wait. The Lobo game's starting. We gotta change it.
Dang.
Yeah.
According to a new study, middle-aged people with a diet high in protein are 4 times more likely to die of cancer.
Whoa.
That's good, because I've recently started eating a lot of protein. Thank you, Nick.
CrossFit!
I love you, buddy. I won't give up.
You know what? That's why they call it CrossFit. Because you're going to see the cross sooner than other people are.
And you'll be real
nothing.
Fit when you get
nothing.
There.
I got nothing.
You'll see the cross sooner and you'll be real fit. And then the Lord will say, was it worth it? And I'll be like, I don't know.
Was it worth it?
I got to eat a lot of
Let
meat.
Let me work it. I don't think it's in reverse.
He's not going to say that.
I don't think so.
If he did say that,
You're
I'd
like,
be like,
Missy Elliott?
This is awesome.
It'd be crazy.
Facebook is reportedly in talks to purchase a company that makes flying drones. Speaking of flying, the hoverboard video was totally fake.
What?
Yes, it was a Funny or Die thing. Funny or Die released apology, like, video last night. Tony Hawk released an apology video because he was getting a ton of crap. A ton of crap. People were genuinely upset. They were like, you don't mess with hoverboards. You don't mess with that. You don't mess with it. You don't mess with it. Hey, you don't do that.
I agree. Hey, I'm one of those people.
Hey, you don't do that.
Dude.
And I agree.
Yeah.
You don't do that.
That's like a childhood dream.
Look, when we get hoverboards, we will know that we're in the future.
Mm-hmm.
There's really no other way to tell. Here's the thing. You say maybe flying cars. No, hoverboards have to come first.
Yeah.
They have to be able to master that on a smaller scale before they can move to hover conversion units for vehicles.
Boom. When we were kids, that was the biggest thing in the universe. Back to the Future 2. Remember the future, the dudes from the future in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles that had hoverboards?
Hoverboards.
They had like blue hair.
Yes.
I don't know why I just thought of them.
Hoverboards.
What were their names?
They were in the video game too. I had the action figure in one because
he had
a hoverboard.
Silver hoverboard.
You don't mess with hoverboards.
You just don't.
Because then the internet will destroy you.
That's like messing with a childhood right there. You don't mess with people's childhood. I'm just saying.
That's a lot. Too many people have dreamed of that.
Yep.
You don't mess with it. A Florida psychic has been sentenced to 10 years in prison for ripping off clients to the tune of nearly $18 million.
I bet you she didn't see that coming. Ayo!
I need to get in touch with this person and say, hey, give me some of your strategies. Tell me, where do you think you went wrong? All right, now, before you went wrong, what did you do? Tell me all the things you did right. I'll write them down.
Oh, man.
Maybe I'll use my telepathy. For those of you who don't know, if you heard yesterday, I used my clairvoyant powers.
Oh, that's right.
And I said there was somebody riding around with a blue shirt and they had just spilled coffee on themselves.
And then a guy called in
and said, that was me. Thank you. And I said, it had to be done.
How crazy was that?
No, it wasn't
crazy. What are the odds?
I knew it was going to happen.
Right, of course you did.
Predicting the future. Homebirds in the U.S. have reached a 37-year high.
Wait, what has?
Homebirds. People getting birds
home
at
births.
Home. Homebirds.
What's a home bird?
No, home birth.
Home birth.
Home birth.
Birth.
Birth. Home births.
You know, like 7 of those were Ryman's, right? Like 19 of those Ryman's.
Hey, where's Steve at?
He's
at. They're having a home birth today.
I believe he has, you know how you can get like a fake degree online?
Yeah.
I believe he's got a real one just through home births.
Him and Bill Peterson are hanging out talking about home births.
Yeah. So.
That's cool.
They had tons of them.
They both have a lot of kids.
They do. And when they finally break down and have a midwife crisis, hey-o!
No.
They don't have each other.
No. Olive Garden has announced that it will introduce a revamped menu with a new logo.
Oh.
They're trying to save it, people.
Olive Garden.
Endless pasta is not working.
No.
They need something else.
Yeah.
What is it? A new menu.
I don't know if that's going to fix it.
You can't say it's a sinking ship. If you relay to people that it's a sinking ship, then they say, well, I'm not going down with that ship.
I'm not going down.
This ain't the Titanic, and it's not going to be historical. There's nobody playing violin music. I'm not doing it.
Okay.
Don't do it. It's Thursday.
Yeah?
You know what that means?
No.
It means there's a new study that shows that dogs understand human emotions.
Dogs.
Dogs. Do they?
Understand human emotion. I don't know. I feel like there were times where, like, something was happening and Indiana was like, hey, I'm here for you.
You okay?
I'm here for you. But then I'd be like, no, Indiana!
Let me tell you something.
No, stop licking me!
Play sad eyes.
Okay.
I have to tell everyone this.
Okay.
The other day, Dawn and I were sitting on the couch. This was before she left to go do some writing.
Mm-hmm.
And we got real sad. And I can't remember what it was. It was like a story or a friend of ours was going through something really hard and we were just sitting there talking about it.
Yeah.
And it was so sad. And Dawn started crying. Like crying.
It was the season finale of Honey Boo Boo.
No. Never will I watch that show. I don't joke about it. That's like hoverboards on the opposite end of the spectrum. I don't joke about that show because I hate that show. If I could experience hate in my heart, it's towards that show.
What was it?
I don't know. It was something really sad.
It was like a real thing. It was Downton Abbey.
Maybe.
She finally caught up.
Yeah, in order though for you to understand, it was a real sad situation.
It was a real sad
It was not
thing in real life.
A TV show.
Right.
It was not anything like that. But then, so we're sitting there. Don is crying. I'm starting to cry. And then I look over, and Panda sits up on her little blanket, looks at Don, and goes, and then walks over and sat in Don's lap and put her head on her chest. Panda never sits on people. She'll sit there for a second and then get up and walk off.
Right.
Because it's like she sits down and goes, nope.
Yeah.
You're not good enough.
Yeah.
So she sits down, put her head on Don's chest, and just started purring, and we both cried. That was the biggest show of emotion that cat has ever had. It freaked me out and made me so happy. It was so cool. And
that's cool.
About, I don't know, 10 minutes later, she got up.
Yeah.
She was like, you guys okay? All right, I'm going to go sit over there and scratch on the curtains. And she got up.
Oh, man.
It was weird, though, because normally, it was just weird.
Yeah.
Cats don't care. Cats don't care.
They don't.
They're off living their lives. They're doing their own thing.
I learned a valuable lesson yesterday in not scaring a cat when they're climbing your drapes. Mm. I learned that lesson yesterday.
Some would say it's a lesson that all people need to learn.
Yeah, when a cat is climbing your drapes, the response not to have is yelling their name. Because then they get even more entangled in your drapes.
Yep.
And it just goes awry.
Yeah.
Gosh.
It's a mess over there.
Your cat!
A new study shows that dogs understand human emotions. I just wanted to repeat it.
Yeah.
More Russian troops are being sent into Ukraine. This is an escalating situation.
It is.
Whew, it's getting weird. An anchor for the American branch of state-run news network Russia Today quit on air Wednesday over disagreements with how the network characterized Russian President Vladimir Putin's actions. Liz Wall said live from the network's Washington, D.C. studio, "Personally, I cannot be part of a network funded by the Russian government that whitewashes the actions of Putin. I'm proud to be an American and believe in disseminating the truth, and that is why after this newscast, I am resigning."
Wow.
She cited her family heritage as part of the motivation for why she chose to resign. Her grandparents, Wall said, immigrated to the United States as refugees during the Hungarian Revolution to escape Soviet forces.
Wow.
So she said she was done.
That was in America? Or that was in... Okay.
The American branch of a state-run news network, Russia Today.
Huh.
Wow. She said, done.
Wow.
Scientists have pinpointed a new particle called a quantum droplet. That is awesome.
Yeah.
What is that?
I don't know.
That's
quantum
awesome.
Droplet.
If you drink enough, you can leap. But you got to have more than a droplet. You got to have a quantum cup.
Yes.
Of quantum droplets.
Yeah, they're working on it.
And the quantum cup is hard. It's real hard to come
by.
A Florida man, and this is Palm Beach County, Don, if you're listening, appears to be recruiting for the Ku Klux Klan. With a KKK flag, noose, and members wanted sign prominently displayed in the front yard of his trailer home.
Did you just say noose?
Yes, I did.
Ugh.
The man, who did not give his name, spoke briefly to reporters outside of his home as he took down the flag Tuesday night. He said he had every right to fly the flag as part of his freedom of speech. When a reporter asked the man what kind of message he sent into the community, he replied, "I'm not sending any message. Same thing when the Puerto Rican flies his flag. He's proud of his heritage, I'm proud of mine." Yeah. Sometimes we pick really stupid things to be proud of, everyone. You gotta think about it before you're proud of it. You can't just be proud of it because it's yours. Sometimes things are bad, and it's not good to be proud of them.
I didn't even know the KKK had their own flag.
Dude.
They had their own flag?
The KKK...
I'm from Texas, New Mexico.
Yeah.
I've never seen one in real life.
Oh, gosh. The KKK still does marches in the South. Like... And they call them peaceful, and they'll go sit in the courthouse, like sit out front of the courthouse and just yell about stuff, just standing there.
No, that's Westboro Baptist Church.
No, that's the KKK in Mississippi and the Westboro Baptist. They ought to just join forces, and then we'll have them all in one place, and who knows
Stop
what could
it.
Happen. Anyway, you talk about standing on the wrong side of history. We hear that phrase a lot, but I mean, come on!
Yeah.
Anyway... NASA is plotting a daring robotic mission to Jupiter's watery moon, Europa.
Ooh.
A place where astronomers speculate there might be some form of life. The space agency set aside $15 million in its 2015 budget proposal to start planning some kind of mission to Europa. No details have been decided yet, but a NASA official says that it would be launched in the mid-2020s. The mid-2020s.
Man.
In 10 years, it's going to be the mid-2020s.
That's crazy.
Oh, man. They went to 2015 in Back to the Future, right?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
We're close.
That is next year.
Yeah, we're close.
And it was supposed to be Jaws 19.
It was, yeah.
Little did they know, Jaws, the Revenge.
Would just destroy everything.
It just wasn't that great.
Nobody wanted to see it after that.
The shark roared like Godzilla.
You know, another movie that did predict a movie future.
Yes.
It was right.
I Am Legend.
I Am Legend.
Yep. Up there in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Batman Superman.
Batman Superman movie, and it's happening!
Of course, the city was overrun with zombies. And
I just realized what happened in that movie, and I'm way less excited.
Yeah, so if that's what you want, that's what you want.
Flying cars or flying people? I don't know. We'll find out.
So let's talk about this. If a bar observes an obviously drunk customer. Mm-hmm. Let me start over. So if a bar observes an obviously drunk customer, and they overserve that obviously drunk customer.
Yeah.
And that customer goes out and gets in a car wreck. There are laws in which the bar could be liable for damages.
Yes.
So what about casinos?
What?
Mark Johnston visited a Vegas casino during Super Bowl weekend, got wasted, and lost $500,000.
Oh my gosh!
He's now suing the casino for letting him bet while drunk.
Ooh.
Similar thing. You see how it's similar?
Yeah.
In 2007, a Nebraska businessman lost $127 million during a gambling spree at two Las Vegas casinos, with $14.7 million of that on extended credit at Harrah's. The casino filed charges with Watanabe when that's the man, the Nebraska businessman.
Okay.
When Watanabe wouldn't pay the $14.7 million, but the man filed a civil suit of his own, claiming that the casino staff plied him with drinks and pain medication to keep him gambling, which is a violation of both Nevada state law and Nevada gaming regulations. The man eventually reached an agreement with the casinos to let the civil case be decided by an arbitrator, and also reached an agreement with prosecutors to avoid jail time. That'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
And we have two pastors coming in the studio today, and I'm interested to hear what they have to say about that on Theology Thursday.
That's
where
cool.
Where does personal responsibility begin and end? You know what I mean? Because it seems lately there's been a rash of a teenager suing a parent.
Which we have follow-up on. Thank you, Bill.
Yeah, we'll be talking about that today. This guy's trying to sue the casino because they let him drink too much and then he made some really stupid choices. So is that his fault? Where does it fall on the individual who made these choices?
Oh, interesting. Hmm. Interesting.
All right.
Oh, man. What time is it?
It's time.
It's time for birthdays.
Are we ready?
We have some exciting stories in here.
Okay.
But we can talk about them
saving
later.
Saving them for 7 o'clock hour?
Because now it's time for birthdays.
All right. Stever!
What?
Hello?
What?
Stever?
What?
Why are you so far away?
I was, trying to see if the UNLV won last night.
Oh.
Were you guys having another home birth?
No.
Okay.
No, we're done.
We're done, guys.
Hey guys,
come on.
Good news.
Leave us alone. Yep. Don't bring it up.
I did get to see the cutest little girl in the world last night.
Oh. Wait, what were you doing with my wife?
No. Okay, no. Everyone.
I was with Anna. Anna Lynn. My little granddaughter.
I didn't realize you got back from Florida visiting my wife. She's in Florida.
I'm not telling you guys what part of Florida.
I said it first.
She's in Miami.
Alrighty. Hey, guess what?
What?
It's day 65.
Yeah!
300 days remaining.
Boom. And 300!
Today we celebrate from the Hughleys.
The Hughleys?
D.L. Hughley.
D.L. Hughley.
Hey!
45! I'm going to say he's 45. I don't know why I said it like Oprah.
I say he's 51.
50.
Oh!
So remember that next year,
Dale. No. Right. Okay. Wait, what if I'm not here in a year, Stever?
You will be here.
Stever!
God willing, creek don't rise.
Our Lord willing, the creek don't rise and the tornado don't pick a trailer up. I'll be here now.
Alrighty.
Wow.
From Friday Night Lights in Nashville. I haven't watched Nashville yet. Have you guys watched Nashville? Any good?
Was he in Pure Country?
Enjoy that show.
Was he also in Pure Country?
Is it the guy that plays
Deacon? He loves that show. I don't know. He was in Pure Country. I'm willing
to
bet.
Do I need to watch Nashville?
Oh, no, no. It's What's Your Face. No, it's What's Your Face. It's she plays Raina James, and she was also in American Horror Story.
Connie Britton.
Boom! Connie Britton.
No,
yeah!
Well, that dude was from Friday Night Lights, too, and he was the coach, right? And
no.
He's also... No?
He's not in Nashville.
He's not?
The guy from Remember the Titans?
I don't know.
You mean you're talking about the guy who played the dad or the cop dad in 8mm?
Sure.
Or Super 8. Super 8.
Yes, Super 8.
Yeah, he's not in it.
He's not in Nashville?
Oh. No.
I just
Connie Britton, though, she's pretty good.
Super 8, also known as Goonies 3.
I will say right now, I have been there when Don and Matt have been watching Nashville, and I've got to be completely honest.
Pretty good.
That show is stupid.
Yeah. Okay. All right, it's
not his kind of soap.
How
opera.
Old is
it's
Connie?
A soap opera.
Come on, yeah. Come on now, back on track.
45.
That could be a good guess. 43.
47.
He went the wrong way.
All right, we're done with this stupid music.
Yeah, it's not stupid, Steve.
Should have gotten some Nashville music because she sings her own songs. You know, in Nashville.
The intro's like, that's it.
All right, so from All in the Family, he also was a director of When Harry Met Sally and This is Spinal Tap. And he's in one of the new movies. Was he in Wolf on Wall Street or whatever? Or was he on American Hustle?
He was in the movie?
Carl Reiner's son.
Oh, I was going to say Ivan. Is it Ivan? What's his name?
Carl Reiner's son.
Ivan Reitman is what I was thinking of. You're right. John Reitman.
Rob Reiner.
Rob Reiner.
Come on, guys.
Hey, you are.
You are.
What?
Is it Harry Weinstein?
It's Rob Reiner.
He said it.
Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
No.
So.
I want Harvey Weinstein to tip
All in
me.
The Family, he played Meathead.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mike Stivic.
Rob Riggle. Yeah.
Okay. So, how old is he?
Rob Reiner is 57.
Oh, 61.
Or? 67.
Dang, dude. Hey, dang, dude.
Is that Steve-O?
No.
Sports. NBA. Yeah. Magic Johnson.
No, after Magic.
After Magic, so Lakers, Kobe Bryant. Shaq.
Shaquille O'Neal! He played.
He was in Blue Chips!
That's when he was at LSU, right? That's where he went to college. I had his rookie card.
Yes!
I still have it.
Yeah, the Orlando Magic?
Yep.
But beautiful. You used it in your bike spokes, so it's.
No, Steve.
Boyd.
Yeah.
Shaquille O'Neal is. Okay, well, let's see. When I was.
20s in the 90s?
Because think about his rookie year. He was probably...
I was in fourth grade.
Okay.
So that.
How old are you in fourth grade?
That was in the 90s. Because I was in kindergarten in 88. So add up from there. 89 first.
So like 92?
Yeah, 92. So he was in his... Because that was... He graduated college and went straight in.
Yeah.
So 20s in the 90s. 30s in the early 2000s. So I say he is 44.
39.
42.
Ugh.
Wrong.
I can remember close. If he actually graduated college, because it is Shaq.
He was huge.
Roseanne.
No.
Yeah, was on Roseanne and...
Yes. I hate this show.
John Galecki.
Yeah, he was Arnold Schwarzenegger's partner in True Lies.
Tom Arnold.
Do you like this show?
Roseanne, you don't like this show?
See, the way you feel about this show, this is your Nashville to me.
It was training ground for the Big Bang.
I was a little kid.
But you would love to watch it. If it came on, you'd be like, Roseanne!
Oh, not now.
It was training ground for the Big Bang Theory.
Yeah. John Galecki. I met the little kid that played DJ.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, just like randomly.
That's cool.
Here in Albuquerque.
Albuquerque's like a random town.
So Tom Arnold is celebrating a birthday today.
Hey,
did you guys know that?
Tom Arnold. I say he is 49.
He is... How old is he?
Nah, he's older than
56.
That.
55.
Ah! Oh,
you faked us out, man.
Gotta do it once in a while.
Ooh.
That's okay.
Ice-T.
No, we're...
New Jack City.
No.
No?
No, the former Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan celebrating a birthday today. The former Federal Reserve Chairman.
Alan Greenspan is... He is freaking old. Seriously. 89.
72.
88.
Dang it!
Wow.
Matt knew what he was talking about.
Yeah, I did. I didn't believe him. Yep. I mean, I pseudo-believed him.
You should have.
It's not SWAT.
No, this is... Set me free, why don't you burn? Set me free, why don't you burn?
Nicely done.
Yep.
Mary Wilson of the Supremes.
So not Diana Ross.
Celebrating a birthday.
Really me, 63. Hmm. 66. 70. Dang. Wow.
We don't need no education. That's David Gilmour celebrating a birthday. The singer guitarist from
Pink Floyd.
Woo!
Man, how old is he? I'm going to go older. I'm going to say 70. No, I'm going to say 68.
71.
He's actually 68.
Oh! Oh! I don't want to play stupid music over this.
You got one.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey, teacher, leave those kids alone.
Teacher.
All right. I've told you this before, Steve-O. Who sang in the choir with the kids?
Oh, man. I don't remember.
Tony Tennille. Of Captain and Tennille.
Yes.
Formerly Captain.
Captain Tennille.
All right, here we go, guys. We're to dates. We are to dates. On this date in what year, the last episode of The Cosby Show.
Oh, wow.
Aired after 8 seasons.
'94.
'91.
'92. Oh! I got a classic for you guys.
That's funny. I almost said '93.
I got a total classic for you guys this morning.
Okay.
I went well deep into the vaults.
No.
Yes, I did.
No.
Did too. If I can find it.
No!
What?
I believe you.
Oh, I got to find it again. But it was easy to find.
Told you.
What?
No.
Okay, so on this date, we're at dates, remember?
Yes. Yep.
Okay, this goes back to Stever's childhood. It does.
I was there.
Huh?
I was there.
No.
Took a time machine back.
No.
Yes, I did.
All right, here you go. Ready?
Yes.
Okay, this, here you go. Let's try this.
From CBS News headquarters in New York, this is the CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite.
Yeah.
Eric Severide in New York.
After 19 years presenting the CBS Evening News, Walter Cronkite signed off for the last time saying, "And that's the way it is."
Wow.
And tonight, a CBS final broadcast. What a random
day to
have a final broadcast.
I don't know if he said that or not, but that was his thing.
March 6th. Good evening. In a
landmark ruling,
the Supreme Court legalized
abortion. 19 years. Wow, this is pretty impressive. You found an old school.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice to do. First 3 months.
What year did he sign off?
Walter
Cronkite. And no, you weren't there, Taylor.
No. 19 years.
I was there.
19 years.
1981.
Didn't he announce JFK?
It was 1981, Taylor.
Oh, dang it. I was trying to do some math.
Yeah, forget the math. Just go for it.
Went for
Tell
it.
Him, Teo.
Roar. No!
Just gotta, nice. Sometimes you just got to
done.
Go for it.
It's because he saw Anchorman 2 without me.
What do you mean?
He knows everything about...
3 times.
Gosh.
Ugh. That movie takes place in 1979 and 1980.
Alrighty. This date and what year? Britain's Queen Elizabeth the Second. Not like way back. She launched the first official royal website, royal.gov.uk.
1996.
94.
97.
Oh, man! I really almost said 97. I didn't. I wasn't sure.
You should have. You should have said it. You should have said it, but you didn't.
I didn't. So I go.
All right, guys. Today... today is... name tag day.
Oh, cool.
Everyone's got to wear their name tag.
I've got mine here. It's a, weird, though. It says Pamela on it.
It's also Oreo cookie day. It's frozen food day. I'm guessing that any cookie sandwich would work.
Cookie sandwich!
It's dentist's day.
No.
Hug a dentist.
Okay.
If their title has DDS... they need a hug. And finally, and Steve-O,
yeah.
Here's what I expect from you. I want you to think back to Three Amigo days.
Okay.
And give us your best one of these. Today is the day of the dude.
Dude.
There you go.
I haven't done that in so long.
All right, Amy, that's
what
all.
What is it, dude?
That's funny. We used to be like, have you ever met Steve-O from, from M88? Who's that?
Yes! People used to make fun of me for the way I said indeed.
What, it was endearing.
Somebody made me a t-shirt that had M-N-N-D-U-U-U-U-D-E. Indeed. I don't know why there was always an M before everything.
It was classic. Mm. Classic Steve-O.
Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, we got a few things to talk about. An update on the teenager who's suing her parents. Question of the day. We're getting prepared for Theology Thursday. And a whole lot more, including some tickets to give away.
Woo!
For San Diego State and the Lady Lobos.
Oh, my gosh.
Tomorrow. Yeah.
The Lady Lobos.
Yeah. High commodity.
High commodity.
We're going to make it happen for you. It's coming up on Team Awesome Morning Bar.
No!
Static.
It's so important.
It is. I'm getting honey all over the screen.
Why'd you do that?
This was a bad idea.
It's okay.
Stever gave us some local honey right before we went on.
Straight
and now
from
it's on
Winnie
our
to
touch
Pooh.
Screen.
Oh.
Sorry.
But it's a good thing because our touch screen will now have a decrease in allergies.
Here, let me lick all the honey off my fingers and then touch the touch screen. That's better.
Yeah, there you go.
Ugh.
It makes sense. Guys, right now there's nothing to report other than the construction at I-25 and Paseo. Again, be careful around there and pay attention to what you're doing because they've switched lanes and it curves to the left real fast. It's like, oh, we're going 35 miles an hour. Boom! And so, whoa.
Yeah.
So be careful.
Yeah.
If you're going eastbound.
Uh-huh.
Westbound, it's not so much of a big deal.
Not so much.
Everything else looks good. That is your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvary campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669.
Woo!
It's 505-338-3669 now.
Praise and adoring even when church is boring and I don't want to go to the baptismal.
You're allowed to... make fun of your own music, right?
Of course I am.
You can change the lyrics.
You're allowed to make fun of our music.
I would never make fun
anybody
of your music.
Anybody is allowed to make
your
fun music
of our music. Your music is what brought us together, my friend.
Hey, baby.
I'm just
guys,
kidding. It was
I'm,
your eyes.
I'm, thanks. I don't know if my eyes are brown or if they are green.
Rotten olive.
They're rotten olive.
Oh, they're doo-doo brown, man. You know what that means? You're full of.
Thank you. Thank you. Sir. So I want to talk about this. Man. Our buddy Bill.
Yeah.
Mr. Bill Peterson.
Update to breaking news.
He posted this on our wall yesterday, so we didn't really have time to get to it. But today we do. So here we are. We talked about on, what is today? Thursday, so maybe Tuesday or Monday. We talked about a story about this girl who is suing her parents because she says they kicked her out when she turned 18. Her parents say, no, you left because you didn't want to do your chores.
Right.
You didn't respect our rules about your boyfriend and you drinking underage. And you left. And so the parents ended up, they didn't pay for her high school tuition. She goes to this, like, super fancy private school. And they have been, they have a college fund for her all saved up. And, you know, they haven't released that to her. So pretty much the girl says, hey, you're holding out on me. And the parents are like, no, you moved out. You left. And we're not going to honor this behavior by paying for it.
Right.
So, update. Well, number one, before the update, the girl moves in with her best friend. Her best friend's dad, and nobody, I don't think anybody's really clear on this.
Yeah.
He offers to pay for a lawsuit to where the girl goes to court, takes her parents to court to have a judge declare that she has not legally emancipated from her parents, even though she's 18. She's not legally emancipated, and her parents have to pay her back tuition at her high school. They have to pay for all of her living expenses right now, and they have to release her college fund. So pretty much, she's like, hey, I want to go live how I want because I'm an adult, but I want you to pay for it.
Yeah.
Because I'm an adult. No. Well, anyway, a high school senior's lawsuit against her mother and father for financial support and college tuition hit a hurdle Tuesday. So we must have talked about it Monday. When a New Jersey judge denied the teenager's request for immediate financial assistance from the parents. This is coming from CNN.com. Rachel Canning, 18 years old, alleges in her lawsuit that her parents forced her out of their Lincoln Park, New Jersey home and that she is unable to support herself financially. The lawsuit asks that her parents pay the remaining tuition for her last semester at her private high school, pay her current living and transportation expenses, commit to paying her college tuition, and pay her legal fees for the suit she filed against her parents.
Mm-mm.
Her parents say she left home because she didn't want to obey their rules.
Okay.
Judge Peter Bogard denied the request for high school tuition and current living expenses at a hearing Tuesday in New Jersey State Superior Court. Another hearing will be held in April on other issues in the suit, including whether Canning left home of her own accord. Canning, an honor student cheerleader at Morris Catholic High School in Denville, says in court documents she had to leave her parents' home because of emotional and psychological mistreatment, alleging, among other things, that her mother called her fat and porky and that her father threatened to beat her. I have been subjected to severe verbal and physical abuse by my mother and father, Canning wrote in a court certification. I am not willingly and voluntarily leaving a reasonable situation at home to make my own decisions. I had to leave to end the abuse.
Wow.
Canning left her parents' home at the end of last October. After spending two nights at her boyfriend's house, she moved into the home of her friend in a nearby town where she's been staying ever since, according to the documents written by the parents' attorney. Man.
Yeah. Stever.
Hey.
Hey.
Now, obviously, we certainly hope she wasn't being abused.
Right. Yeah.
However, let me say what most dads are thinking.
Yeah.
My house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what we all said on Monday. This is ridiculous, and I'm glad the judge immediately was like, no,
man,
dude, no.
Well, and it seems like the things are stacking up against the girl. I know she's got, like, abuse allegations, but then you hear this. Her parents say, we were always her support team, cheering her on and defending her whenever she had a problem. She claims that her daughter, this is the mom. The mom claims that the daughter was never forced out of the family's home, but rather took it upon herself to run away so she could live her life without any parental supervision and without any rules. The girl was suspended from school for truancy last October, according to court documents. Her parents told the teen that she could no longer see her boyfriend. She was also suspended from school. Car and phone privileges were also taken away once she learned of the punishment. Canning cut school again and then decided to run away, her father said in court documents.
Amazing.
I wish, again, we don't know the whole situation.
Right.
We weren't there. But when you read this stuff and you read...
It's really hard to side with the kid at all.
It really is.
Yeah.
Especially, I'm like, maybe the dad of the best friend believes all the abuse stuff. Here's another thing. The dad, Sean Canning, who is a retired Lincoln Park police chief, and he's a current business administrator for the town of Mount Olive, New Jersey, I'm guessing. He says, we're being sued by our child. I'm dumbfounded. So is my wife. So are my other daughters. Living in our house, there are very few things. There's minor chores. There are curfews. When I say curfew, it's usually after 11 o'clock at night.
Wow.
That's pushed back.
Yeah.
My curfew was like 10.
You had a 10
on a
o'clock
good
curfew?
Night.
Okay.
Yeah. That was like weekends. That was a good night.
Yeah. Weeknights, it was, yeah.
But you know what?
I was there by dinner time.
I made it home by curfew every night. And so when I got older, when I was like a senior, my parents would let me stay out.
You were faithful with the little
things. Yes, because they knew.
Yeah.
And if I was going to be late, I called them. I was like, I am running late. No, I have not been doing anything crazy.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Trailers ran long, so sorry the movie lasted 15 minutes longer than we thought.
I used to go watch so many movies.
Me too, because there was nothing else good to do.
This is crazy.
I know. It's dumbfounding to the mind. But I have good news.
What is that?
I found a list of things that our brain actually does need more of every day.
Really?
So something to make us cheer up, happy,
I just
better.
I just can't. This is blows my mind.
I know. 505-338-3700 or facebook.com/mystaticradio.
Woo!
Pray for the family. And the team.
And it's still developing, so I'm sure in April we'll have more info about this. We just wanted to give you guys a quick look at what is still going on, the developments in this case, because it's pretty dumbfounding.
I found a list of 5 things our brain needs more of every day and thought that'd be a fun little question of the day. What's something you could use more of every day? Could be anything. I could use some more time.
I could use some more.
I feel like we run out of time every
day.
We
do run out of time. I could use more sleep.
Yes. Well, the things we put into our bodies actually have a ginormous effect on the way we feel day in and day out. So obviously that salad for lunch will give us more energy in the afternoon than a plate of cheese fries.
Oh.
But there's a slew of foods that can actually boost your alertness, awareness, and productivity. I'm excited to share this list.
I would love to hear this list.
All right. Number one on this list of things you need. Caffeine!
You need it.
And theanine. Theanine.
So you need caffeine?
Yeah.
This is good news for me.
Yeah, if you know how to use it well,
okay.
Caffeine can help you remember things. If you drink too much of it, caffeine can leave you feeling jittery and crashed out, but that's because caffeine needs a friend.
Oh.
Theanine? Theanine?
Thebes?
It's an amino acid that reduces anxiety. How to get more of it? You can do black, green varieties of tea. And that's the number one suggestion. Have a few cups a day of either black or green tea. That'll help you with the caffeine and the theanine, and it'll balance it out, help you be more alert, and it helps with your brain functions. Imagine that.
All right.
All right. For a sunny disposition, you want to feel better about the day, you want to enjoy your day more? Sunlight.
Sunlight.
Yeah.
Yeah, because sunlight gives you, like, what is it, B something? B12?
I guess. There's actually a disorder called seasonal affective disorder. About 10% of Americans actually battle this very
really?
Thing. Yeah. It's a sense of lethargic sadness that comes with shorter autumn and winter days, and the best way to hedge against that and the everyday gloominess being burned into you by your office's iridescent lights, probably, is simply get more sun. Take a walk outside. If you work a normal 8-hour day, you should get a couple 15-minute breaks.
Yeah.
Why not take a walk around the building?
Yeah, especially
do something.
Here in Albuquerque, it is beautiful today.
It's gorgeous, right?
Moving out here, I've seen more of the sun and more of the stars than ever in my life, and I really like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the sun is good for you. Just get out there and take a walk. It'll make you feel better.
And you never know. You might find out that somehow your parents never told you that you were put in a space capsule at birth and you crash-landed on Earth and you don't know yet that the sun's UV rays actually give you powers.
You've got to find yourself.
I'm telling you, your
place in the sun.
It could happen. Next thing you know, like one day you're talking to this girl and everything's cool.
It's fine.
And the next day you're leaning against the locker and you dent it because, yeah, super strength.
And then a bully is picking on you and he pushes you down and you grab a fence, but you don't want to get up because you're reading the writings of Plato and you're like, maybe I should just chill. And then they all walk off because your dad's back there and then you're like, and you take your hand off the pipe and you have crushed it.
You just crushed it. What?
And then you decide, maybe I'm a little different.
It's called sunlight.
And you meet this computer program that says it's your dad. And it says,
You will give them an ideal to strive for. They will run after you, but they will fall.
Oh, man.
The
movie's so good.
It's inspirational. Dave watched it last night.
What you need more of, sunlight, or just watch The Man of Steel.
Just watch it.
It's just so good.
It'll inspire you to go get some sunlight. You'll go outside and you'll lay on the ground and go,
ugh. Or go to the gym, man. Yeah. Gosh, I just feel like the puny little kid. I look like the little elementary school kids in this class compared to him.
Are you kidding me? Every time we watch Arrow, Steve-O goes, gah! When it shows Arrow,
I get so mad!
Doing his chest
things.
He's
working out and doing crazy stuff, and I'm like, dang it. Dang. I guess that means I'd have to get off the couch. Yeah, I'm cool like this. I'm a skinny little cuss.
I've got this. Video game.
I'll deal with this. I'll deal with it. Something else your body needs, your brain needs, your whatever needs. Polyphenols.
Let me see.
Polyphenols? Polyphenols. Right there. Polyphenols.
Polyphenols. Polyphenols. It's probably polyphenols, right?
You know what I should have done?
What?
Thought about whether or not I could pronounce any of these things before I did this stupid list.
It is Spanish.
Gosh!
Yeah, so it turns out there is some wisdom to a chocolate binge, people.
Okay.
There's a class of antioxidants inside cocoa called polyphenols or polyphenols.
Polyphenols.
Polyvalent. We'll figure it out. They lend chocolate a lot of its mood-enhancing ability.
Okay.
This is because researchers suggest they stimulate the same brain receptors that anxiety medications work on. Add that to your list of chocolate's benefits, decreasing the chance of stroke, diabetes, and heart disease while increasing blood flow. Dark chocolate is best.
Wow.
Dark chocolate.
There you go.
You want to hear more?
Yeah.
Is it cool if I read them?
Heck yeah.
You also need omega-3s to give you a brain
fuel. Oh, come on. You got the omega-3. I could have read omega-3.
Omega-3.
I got all the polyphenols.
Omega-3.
Not to be confused with omega-red, which can kill you.
Yes. Also mean. Is he a mutant? He's a mutant.
Yeah, and he's got like crazy Doc Ock arms. Ugh. And like works
he's
for the Russian
jerk.
Guys. It's crazy.
Was he, okay, Iron Man 2, was Whiplash a combo of Omega Red? And because he was Russian and he had the, who knows. While the brain accounts for only 2% of our body's weight, it takes up 25% of our total glucose production. This is a long way of saying our brains are hungry hippos inside of our head. Hungry, hungry hippos. And if they don't get fed, they get distracted. How to eat more? Or how to get more? Eat more like nuts, flax seeds, chia seeds. And fatty fish like salmon. Or salmon, for those of you who can't pronounce that word correctly.
Salmon.
Yeah,
see, I was like, I've never heard of that. Salmon is so good.
And the last one, this is a weird one. Creatine.
Uh-uh.
Beloved by bodybuilders, it's good for your brain, too. Who knew it? Studies suggest that creatine boosts memory and attention span.
Okay.
Add a creatine supplementation to your morning smoothie.
All right.
I also read, or Dawn told me that... When you wake up in the morning, if you eat more of a, like, we make smoothies.
Yeah, you do.
Shake, and then I eat another shake. Mm-hmm. Because the first thing that your body eats, if it's a liquid, if it's like a smoothie consistency, it absorbs, like, faster.
Okay.
Because it's a liquid.
That's good. Coffee
but
for me.
It's better on your body.
Caramel.
So if it's, yeah. That caramel is perfect for you. It's got tons of sugar and dye.
I'm going to die so young.
You're going to be
fine. Oh, man. All right. Coming up, we got to talk about this. A gentleman lost a lot of cash at the casino, and he's blaming others.
Yeah.
Whose responsibility is it? We'll talk about that coming up right now. It's POD, T-Moss Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
You stand with the gun in your hand, staring at the wall with the...
That show is the broadcast equivalent of being punched in the face.
Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Hey!
Steve-O and Mateo with you. Welcome to the program. Playing some jams this morning. I'm excited. So, Teo's posting this. It's Mateo.
Mateo.
Interesting story for this morning.
Interesting story.
Mateo broke the news at 6:30 during breaking news.
Yeah.
When news breaks, he breaks things.
I'm sorry. Speaking of breaking things.
Our computer sucks.
There are certain things in this world that I would love to break if given the opportunity.
Maybe you're a local businessman out there and you love the station and you're like, what can I do to help these guys? Because they seem like such wonderful individuals. Hey, man. Our computer in here doesn't like us.
It hates me.
Yeah, because when you work for somebody, you know, it's just showing that. It's affirming how much you care for them. So you're like, I'm going to work to the best of my abilities for this thing. This computer just doesn't like you. That's what I've come to realize.
And it's funny. It's kind of endearing. I believe this computer has become a character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people want to hear about...
It's like a cat.
Yeah, they want to hear about my battle with the computer.
It works when it wants to. If it doesn't want to be pet, it just shuts down. Goes away.
As soon as I can, everyone, I'm going to post this story. We talked about it, like Steve was saying, in breaking news.
Yeah, interesting story coming out of breaking news. A man, Mark Johnston, he was hanging out during the Super Bowl in Vegas. And that dude's a gambling man. He's a gambling man.
Yeah.
He enjoys letting loose at the casinos. Maybe playing some craps. Wait, you don't play them, you shoot them. Shooting craps. Playing blackjack. What else do you do at casinos?
Walk around mindlessly.
I've only been to Vegas once and it was for work.
Try to find the bathroom.
Awful. Got seafood poisoning.
Start realizing all these places are kind of the same.
Yeah.
Except this one's got a fountain. But the fountain's outside and it's kind of cold. I don't want to go outside.
Well, Mark Johnston started gambling at a casino during Super Bowl weekend. And I guess they just kept serving him drinks. Serving him drinks. Serving him drinks. And little did he know, Super Bowl ends and he's still gambling. Had a few too many. Got drunk. And gambled away $500,000.
Wow.
Well, he is now suing the casino for letting him bet while drunk. This is interesting. We talked about this and you equated it this morning very well, in my opinion, during breaking news. If a bar serves an obviously drunk customer and the customer goes out and gets into a car wreck, there are actual laws in which the bar can be liable for damages.
Yes.
And
I think rightly so.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're in there and you're like, dude, I can get so much money out of this guy.
Right.
Because he's wasted, and you just keep giving them drinks, and then at the end of the night, you hand them their bill, and they're wasted, so they're like, eh.
Right. Well, he got wasted. Lots of free drinks. But, obviously, nothing in this life is free.
Yep.
Those free drinks came with the cost of $500,000 that he lost gambling while drunk during the Super Bowl. So the question is, whose fault is it? 505-338-3700 is the phone number. This guy's claiming that it is the casino's fault for allowing him to gamble like this. He doesn't believe he needs to pay his gambling tab. He's not the first person to say as much. I guess back in 2007, a Nebraska businessman lost $127 million during a gambling spree at two different Las Vegas casinos, with $14.7 million of that on extended credit. The casino filed charges when he wouldn't pay them, but the man filed a civil suit of his own, claiming the casino staff plied him with drinks, pain medication to keep him gambling, which is a violation of both Nevada state law and Nevada gambling regulations.
That's crazy.
The man eventually reached an agreement with the casino to let the civil case be decided by an arbitrator who also reached an agreement with prosecutors to avoid jail time.
Ugh.
So here's the thing. This guy gets drunk and gambles away $500,000 and doesn't believe he's responsible because the casino provided him with drinks. So whose fault is it?
Because, like you were saying...
Yeah, I mean, off air.
Now, it sounds like a simple question at first. It's like, well, obviously, if you're equating it to the bar thing,
yeah,
then obviously the casino is at fault. But then you start thinking about other things. It's
hey,
like,
man, I went out last night with my bros.
Got housed.
Oh, man, the guys just started... We just started buying me drinks, and next thing you know, I'm drunk. And I woke up this morning...
This is a pretty girl, man.
And I'm next to a girl that's not my wife. It's not my fault. The guys gave me too many drinks. where does personal responsibility begin and end?
Yeah.
Because this guy, if he wins this lawsuit against the casino for providing him drinks, it's going to set a whole new precedent. Because we were talking earlier about this girl who tried to sue her parents, mm-hmm. and the judge, rightly so, said,
yeah.
I got to side with the parents. For a very good reason.
The reason was if he sides, well, as far as concerning the part of it that they've solved now, which was the parents do not need to start paying for the girl's living expenses.
Yeah.
If they would rule in favor of the girl, then that would set a legal precedent where kids could sue their parents for having to do chores.
Yeah, for rules that they don't like in their household.
Any rule they don't like is, hey.
And the judge went,
sounds fishy.
Yeah, so tell us what you think. 505-338-3700, the phone number. Or, of course, facebook.com/mystaticradio. He posted the article. You can check it out. Question of the day, who's really to blame? Where does personal responsibility begin and end? Static.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have to say, I hope the guy doesn't win because I think it's his fault, not the casinos.
Okay.
Just because they gave you the drinks doesn't mean you have to drink them.
Okay. There you go.
I'm always a designated driver for all my friends. We go to the bars all the time, you know, and I'll be a designated driver. And I've had people send drinks to me, and I just tell bartenders, no, I'm the designated driver. I don't want to drink. Can I just have a Coke or a Sprite or something instead and get that instead? He
Amazing.
Had no reason he had to have all those drinks.
I like that. Now, there you go. And a great way to equate that, too, as the designated driver.
Yeah.
So, nicely done. Thank you so much for the comment.
Absolutely. Have a good day, guys.
All right, you too. Static.
Yo, one Yo. Question. So, if he was drunk and won $500,000, would he keep it?
Oh.
That's all I got to ask. All right. Thanks, guys. Go.
Beautiful. 505-338-3700.
That's an excellent point.
It's 505-338-3700. Excellent point.
Man, I love that. He called in and said, here's a crazy point. I got to go.
Boom!
That was great. Thank you for calling.
If you're just joining us, Mark Johnson. He is a gambling man.
He's a gambling man.
Went to a casino over Super Bowl weekend, gambled away $500,000 in a Vegas casino.
Goodbye.
He is currently suing the casino for letting him bet while intoxicated, claiming that the casino kept providing him drinks and he got drunk, and that's why he lost $500,000. So the question is, who's to blame? Let's be jury here.
Let's
decide this case.
Oh,
Static.
I'm scared.
Am I on to be jury?
You are.
Sure.
You just got
Please.
Duty.
I think that the liability for a bar when they let somebody continue to drink is if that individual hurts someone else.
Yeah.
If you went and got drunk and crashed your own car, the bar is not responsible.
Oh,
so I think
true.
It's a little bit more like that situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Have a good day.
You hey,
too.
Thank you.
This is true. If you crash into a lamppost
Whose
or something.
Whose fault is that? Your own.
Right?
That's stupid.
But if you there are laws in place with bars, though, that if you crash your car, I wonder if it's if you crash your car and somebody else is harmed or if you just flat crash your car.
I don't know. Let's
Because if the bar's liable for damages to your own vehicle if you crash your car,
I'm
oh,
gonna do,
laws.
I'm going to do a quick web search
okay.
and see if I can
we're
pull
gonna,
anything up.
We're going to, yeah.
Because
we're
as you
take
guys
the bar
know,
exam
Steve-O
real quick.
And I are experts when it comes to anything.
Static.
Good morning, fellas.
Morning.
Good morning.
So I kind of have a different point on it. So
I'd love to hear it.
I kind of thought about this, and I was like, if the guy is, you know, already intoxicated, you'd have to be there to kind of understand. But in a way, they could have taken advantage of him.
Yeah.
So it's like you think of the woman, you know, who's slightly intoxicated and some man who's, you know, buying her drinks or whatnot, and then makes you know she agrees to all of this stuff that she's drunk.
Yeah.
So if it's a situation like that, it's like they saw him and was like, okay, let's continue to give him free drinks, you know, so he can continue to bet. This guy, you know, we're making a lot of money. I mean, so it's one of those things, that's the way it could go, or it could, you know, the other guy is just, you know, he's just drunk and that's all his fault, but I just thought I'd put that other point out there because it's, I mean, they could have taken advantage of him, and I can see,
you know,
where,
yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm?
That's an interesting terminology, taking advantage of him, because obviously we've seen many stories where at a party, some college students, people drink too much, a guy sleeps with a girl, and then the next day it's called date rape because you know, the girl was quote-unquote blackout drunk, and that's the term that they use for this gentleman.
Yeah.
He claims he was blackout drunk, and so you do bring up a good point.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So
thanks
for the call.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you. Too. And I mean, and here's the thing. It's true.
Solid point.
And it usually comes down to the gentleman who is with the female.
Well, gentleman, in quote.
Right.
Quote, unquote, gentleman.
We're using quotations today.
We are using them liberally.
Some loose terminology flying around these studios. The phone lines are jammed.
Good.
505-338-3700. Static.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
How are y'all today?
Doing pretty good.
Oh, can't complain.
That's good. That's always good.
Yeah, you know.
How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
Oh,
dude.
Oh, good. Very good.
Awesome. All right.
All right. Well, I'm kind of, I'm in the middle because they're both at fault, but I think it's more about his fault because how you said it kind of comes into the personal thing.
Mm-hmm.
But also the casino, like that the woman that just came on made a point of, like, they probably did take advantage of him, like, okay, this guy, he looks rich. Let's just get him drunk. Let's see how much money we can get out of him.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. But also, he had the choice to walk into that bar. He had the choice to take those free drinks. He was not forced to take those free drinks.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he was drunk, so he didn't have complete control of what he was doing.
Yeah.
But he had complete choice to not go into that bar and take those drinks.
Yeah.
So...
very true. Right.
Thank you so much for the call.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
You too.
Yeah,
so here's a question. Guy goes into a bar, all right? Different situation. He sits down, he pulls out his wallet to pay for a drink, right? And he pays with a $100 bill. And somebody notices, wow, this guy's got a stack of hundreds.
There's a few of those in there.
And so they decide, hey, let's get this guy liquored up. And let's bro down with this guy. So all of a sudden, people start broing down with him, providing him drinks so that he gets drunk, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the night, one of those drunk dudes basically steals his wallet.
Ooh.
That's theft.
That is theft.
That's taking from him. I mean, is it different? Is it the same? Gosh. Static.
Hi.
Hi.
How is it going?
Oh, dude, can't complain.
Cool.
Yeah.
So I was just calling, not about the question of the day, but I usually work graveyard shift, and I have to drive home in terrible traffic every day from the west side, and after working 12 hours, I'm pretty grumpy. So all I wanted to say was thank you guys so much for being absolutely hilarious and asking contemplative questions and keeping me from wanting to kill everybody on the road.
And it's good that we do this because we're scared. Now, though, is it good because now I'm scared that if she's so grumpy and she kills somebody, she could blame us and be like, they weren't funny!
No, they weren't funny!
I'm just keeping you on your game. You got to be there every day.
Wow.
Don't set a legal precedent with this.
Incredible. Thank you so much for the encouragement.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, call anytime. Make us feel good.
I
looked up, I just did a quick web search, and it was like bar liability for alcohol injury.
Okay? All right, let's hear this.
And this is coming from lawyers.com.
I feel like I need like serious music for this.
I gotcha.
Is good. Okay.
This is what everybody thinks of when they think of lawyers. Okay. Many states hold commercial vendors of alcohol, such as bars, taverns, and package stores, responsible for injury caused by drunk patrons.
Okay.
Laws in most states require the injured person suing a commercial alcohol vendor to prove that the serving of alcohol was a proximate cause of the injury. Commercial vendors are liable for injuries caused by an intoxicated customer if they serve liquor to him after he was visibly intoxicated. An employer throwing an office party is liable for any bad misconduct or harassment on the part of an employee if the employee was acting within the scope of his employment and the employer failed to take reasonable preventative steps.
Huh.
So that's a real quick look at bar liability. Now, we're talking about a man who lost $500,000 and is blaming the casino, and he's wanting to use this a similar type law
some kind of similar legal function, wordage to get this casino, because he says they kept serving him alcohol after he was drunk and he lost $500,000.
Gosh. You know what we need to do?
What?
We can solve this real quickly.
Let's do it.
Jack, science fair next year.
Yes.
It's science.
It's
so
science.
What we're going to do is we're going to sit down. No,
oh,
never mind.
No.
Okay.
I don't like where this is
okay.
going.
I'll stop.
I feel
it.
Like we could get sued.
Yep. All
from
right.
Someone. Panda, maybe. Maybe Panda could sue us.
We have to say thank you to some of our friends who help keep Static Radio afloat. We're a listener-supported station,
listener
so we're going to take care of that. Coming up, we're going to keep talking about this. The phone lines are still jammed. Keep the calls coming.
Yeah.
Man suing a casino for losing $500,000 gambling, claiming they served him the drinks, they got him drunk, it's not his fault, doesn't want to have to pay it.
Mm-hmm.
We want to know your thoughts. 505-338-3700.
If we have any listeners that are lawyers,
yes,
I would love for you to call in, because we are not lawyers. We're lawyers in practice.
Yes.
But only pretend practice. Not private practice. Boom.
If you are a lawyer calling, please forgive my friend for picking the music.
No, man, you get it. This is how you feel when you walk into work. I know. Don't pretend with me.
Oh, man. Coming up, some sins. The band. And more of your thoughts right here on Team Awesome Morning Party.
I plead the fifth.
Static.
Let the broadcasting of the disturbed continue.
Time for more from Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
Enjoy the show.
This is called a build.
Building it up.
Yeah.
Wait for it.
Okay.
There it is.
Welcome! Team Awesome Morning Party.
Good morning, everyone.
Steve-O, Mateo hanging out with you, and the phone lines have been jammed.
Yes, they have.
We posted the story on our Facebook page, facebook.com/mystaticradio. A gentleman in Vegas got housed over Super Bowl weekend. That means drunk. And lost $500,000. He is now suing the casino, claiming they boozed him up, and it's not his fault. It's not his personal responsibility. So we're curious what you think. Who's responsible? We're talking about, you know, some bars. There are laws that you can be liable if you overserve somebody and they crash their car. You can be liable for damages. And so this guy, well, he lost $500,000. He wrecked his finances. So, who's responsible? Joining us in studio right now, Clay Schroff from the Aspen Project.
Woo! Good morning.
Welcome to the show.
It's always great to be here.
Yeah. So, when did you decide it was time to hire a lawyer and you needed to get this $500,000 back?
Yeah. What was it
right.
like?
Right. Well,
how did you feel the moment you realized, I got a lawyer?
$500,000! I'm just kidding.
So I went back to my motel room after I did this.
People are going to believe you. Stop it.
They got it.
And
got
I
him.
Opened up the book, and Geronimo 26
yes.
says,
yeah. yes.
It says, if you are an idiot and you drink too much and lose your money,
yeah.
you lost your money.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're both at fault.
Yeah.
So I think they should go to court, and I think they should find them both guilty, and then they ought to divide the money and give half to the Aspen Project
there you
and
go.
Half to Static Radio.
Dude,
and let
us
do some
idea.
Good things with money.
Gosh, this is such a good idea.
I love it.
Yeah, here's the thing. Hopefully it's a lesson to everybody else who has not frequented a casino yet. Guess what? That's what they do. That's their job. Like, the idea that this guy lost $500,000 at a casino because they were giving him free drinks and he was boozing it up and he was gambling.
Just a boozing it.
You were gambling!
Yep.
This is what they do. Why do you think their casino is so freaking nice and your house is not? Because they know what they're doing.
Well, hey, check this out. We have a solid point on Facebook.
Okay, let's
from
hear
a guy
it.
Named Alex. He says, when it was his choice to drink, maybe he meant while it was his choice to drink
okay.
and ultimately get drunk, I don't think he had $500,000 in his pocket. At some point, he had to enter into a line of credit agreement. If he was drunk when he did that, then they were wrong. If he was sober, then it's on him. If he spent the cash in his wallet, that happens often with people when they're drinking.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very true, because solid you're point. Right. That was what happened with another gentleman back in 2007 who had to enter a line of credit who lost $127 million.
If he was staying at the hotel, and it's a hotel casino,
mm-hmm.
then he had to enter his credit when he got there for his room. Mm-hmm. Because they, you have, anytime you check into, I know this from too much touring.
Yeah.
I was about to say, you know what? You just got through telling us you're a goody two shoes, and I'm starting not to believe you.
Yeah,
this
you
guy's
have
a
to,
goody-goody.
Dude, it's the incidentals, man. Incidentals, they'll kill you. No, but seriously, when you check into a room, you have to, even if somebody else has paid for your room, you have to give them a line of credit when you check in.
Yeah.
For incidentals. And I'm sure at these Vegas hotel casinos, if you put your line of credit in at the hotel, then it's right there at the casino.
Yeah.
Because that's when they say, what's your room number?
Man.
There it is.
Gosh.
And that could be what happened.
Let's see. Let's make it easy. Just don't gamble. No need.
Right.
Going to casinos. I have known too many people who have, lost so much through that addiction of gambling. Not even drinking, just gambling. Sober. And two, if somebody's like boozing you up and giving you a bunch of free drinks, you probably need to think about where you are and how to get out of there as quickly as possible.
Maybe they were giving them lotus flowers.
Lotus flowers?
Well, here's my... Anytime I've gone to a casino, and I'll just be honest with everybody, I have. But my parents were like, hey, if you go in there, set an amount of money... Only take that much money in, and that's it.
Yeah.
They, you know, and it was low.
Yeah.
Now, me being in a, like, making no money band called Waverly.
Right, right.
When I say low, I mean like...
$20.
Hey, guys, I'm breaking out 20 for tonight.
That's what
and
I
everybody
did.
Going, oh!
Yeah.
Whoa, high roller.
I rocked a 20 at the, I've only been there flying through, was one time flying through, and I was just at the airport in Vegas trying to get to Salt Lake City, and walked in, and it was like, whoa, in the freaking airport, there's just slot machines everywhere. And you know how much I love Wheel of Fortune.
It's a great game.
So,
it's America's game.
It's America's game. So I saw that and was like, yeah, I got like an hour layover. And pulled out a $20 bill, and I just assumed this is going to be like entertainment. It'd be like watching a movie. It'd be like playing at an arcade.
Yep.
So I'm just going to pretend like these quarters are going into an arcade machine, and whatever happens, happens.
It's the same deal as if you play those claw machines in a gas station. Or if you play the ones where you got to cut the string, and there's like a freaking PS4 hanging in there, and you're like, Tim Skipper's going, I got this! I got this! $30 later, you're like, Tim, you don't got this!
Yeah. I won like $100.
You did?
And that actually paid for my food for the whole weekend. Because once that was tapped, I was like, I'm not touching any more quarters.
I've only ever broken even. And when I say even, I mean, oh, great, I'm walking away with $5. But I don't have like a strong draw to addiction.
I don't need,
you know, addiction to gambling.
Right.
You know? It's not an addiction of mine. It's not something where I go in and I'm like, oh my gosh.
I want to lose all my money.
The high is getting me. I've got to do this.
I got to just keep giving 20s.
But some people really deal with that.
Yeah.
It sounds like this guy legitimately had a problem.
Gosh.
And that's another factor that we haven't talked about.
Right.
Is this somebody where he can go back in his history and prove that he has a type of addiction? Well, then who does it fall on? Because if he can, he shouldn't have walked in there.
I was just about to say, that's like saying the alcoholic can blame a bar. Even though he knows he's an alcoholic, he's still walking into the bar and choosing to be there.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be in that situation.
The first step to avoiding temptation is not putting yourself in the situation.
There you go.
Youth group. 98.
Youth group! Gosh. You want a segue? You ready to move on?
It's pretty awesome. Hey, real quick, though. You know, I had a coworker that was so deep in debt and gambling that he faked his own death. And me and my wife saw him 2 years later.
Wow!
2 years later, we're eating, and I said, doesn't that look like so-and-so? And my wife goes, oh, my God, that looks just like him. Come to find out, it really was him. And he faked his death to get out of gambling debt.
Is it wrong?
It was in the paper and everything.
If I say that is inspirational for some reason to me, I'm like, he did it! He did it!
Man, he's a cowboy.
So let me just tell you, though, gambling is super addictive for people.
It is. Yeah.
So if you know if you're struggling out there with that kind of stuff, you got to get out.
Yeah.
You got to get
You
want to
see a segue? Here we go.
Yeah.
There are parents out there that are so deep in debt, and they bring those woes home with their children, or they'll leave their children out in the car while they go in and gamble and drink.
Yeah. Yeah. And you guys see this.
The time.
Maybe that's what's helped, because for me, that was growing up, money was a big thing. And we weren't the most responsible. I was pretty spoiled as a kid. And I've seen what happened and what came of all that money. Nothing. And so I think because of that, it's kind of helped me be a better steward of that as a father myself and teach my boys those lessons early so that they don't fall into the same things I fell into. Because, man, when I was younger, it was like, well, I got this magic plastic thing. And I just swipe it, and I get all the stuff I want. And it's amazing.
That reminds me of this thing I got called a credit card.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It's very similar.
You swipe it, and you don't even have to use money. And you can just keep going.
They just give
and when you
things.
Get to the end of one, they send you a new one in the mail from a different company. And they're like, hey, your other one ran out. Here's a brand new one, special friend.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. This is exactly why Aspen Project does what they do. It's why you guys do what you do. Man, children need mentors. They need to know these things. Because if not, obviously we've seen what happens when a child does not have a stable environment or does not have somebody to look up to, because the world's going to show them how to live and it's not the right way. And then we have stories of teenagers who are suing their parents or dudes who get drunk and then are trying to blame others because they've never taken personal responsibility for their actions.
You know, and what it all boils down to is sin. You know, the guy,
absolutely.
Should he have been drinking? Probably not. And he shouldn't have been drunk, for sure.
Yeah.
Should the casino have taken advantage of him? Absolutely not. And it's the same thing with these parents. You know, we get to do it's called an icebreaker. So within 72 hours of a child coming into our home, we get to actually meet with children, youth, and family and the parents. And sometimes that's really, really hard. And what I really always need to remind myself is that their sin in the eyes of God is no different than my sin.
Amen. Yeah.
Which is hard because on a worldly basis, it's a lot worse. But, yeah. You know,
right.
it's important that we realize that these kids are being brought into custody due to sin. And as a church, we really need to be instilling in our congregations, our pastors, and our children. You know, thank God we have just a phenomenal children's ministry here at Calvary.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of churches out there that have phenomenal children's ministry. Because if we can raise up the next generation to love the Lord, we can see major changes in this country.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. I love what you guys do. There's so many different ways that you can get involved. I know... yesterday began a new adventure for me. It's my yearly adventure that I absolutely love. Little League kicked off yesterday.
Little League.
First
Woo!
Practice. I got to be helping off the tee, you know, with the boys and just watching for that hour and a half, just those little dudes as they step up to the plate and instructing them. And in that hour and a half, watching them grow just in something as minute as their baseball swing. That brings joy to me because you see, man, children... They want that. And when they have a positive person in their life who is lifting them up, who is encouraging them, who is affirming the behavior that they want to see in them,
mm-hmm.
kids will bend over backwards for you, man, because they love that. They crave that. There's something inside of them that loves that. And
Isn't that what it's about? It's being Christ with skin.
Yeah.
And isn't it amazing that we can show God's love in Little League? We
yeah.
can show God's love in soccer. We can show God's love in you guys in the skate park.
Yeah.
You know, we forget. I think a lot of times as the church as a whole, we forget how easy it is to show God's love
right.
in the little things we do.
That's
in
it.
Everything we do.
It's not like you're at Little League practice. It's like, okay, Billy, all right, I'm going to put this ball on the tee. Before I do, I want you to know that Jesus loves you and he's got an incredible plan for your life. Okay, swing. Okay, so 2,000 years ago, it's not like that. It's good job. It's building them up, and it's just truly imprinting that in a way of loving them and encouraging them and pouring out to them. And if we do get the opportunity, absolutely, getting to share Jesus with them. But sometimes sharing Jesus is as simple as loving this child, because maybe their home structure is crazy. Like you said, you've seen so many...
Mm-hmm.
insane scenarios of home life that you never know what it will do to a child for you just to build them up, to encourage them, to tell them that they're of worth, that there is a God who loves them, because maybe that's the only love they will ever know because their home life is a wreck. I know for me, as a single product of a single mom, I had no idea what it meant when it was like, well, God's your father and he loves you. It's like, I don't understand what that looks like because I never had a dad. Mm. So how am I supposed to equate that? Because my father died when I was young and my stepdads sure as bleep don't show that they love me. Yeah. it was crazy growing
and that's
up.
The sad thing is maybe not even involving a death, but that's a common situation.
Absolutely. And broken homes.
Yeah, it's totally true because your view of your father directly affects how you view God because he is our creator father.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of times that reconciliation is hard to find.
It's really a challenge to men out there to step up, to be mentors. Sadly, this year, you know, every year it seems for Little League, the volunteers get less and less. And this year it's no different. Yesterday I went to the meeting and hanging out, and it's our first Little League practice. And it's like, all right, guys, unfortunately, there's many less volunteers this year than there were last year. And last year there were many less than there were the year before. And parents just, they don't have the time or they just can't get involved. And for me, I was that parent, I think, oppositely, where I thought, all right, I'm going to drop my kids off and they're going to learn from the coach and they're going to, oh, wait, no, I need to be involved in my kid's life. And it's not even mentoring another child or volunteering in the community. Parents, fathers, if you have your own children, start there, please.
Well, you know,
so
it
that
is
you don't
a start.
Become that story.
My whole thing this week, and it was out of a sermon I was listening to, but it's have a reason for sacrifice. Mm. If you understand the reason that you're making the sacrifices that you're going to do, and then, you know, I just want to bring this up. I had a hospice nurse, I think. It was a counselor.
Okay.
And they counseled people who were going to die. And very worldly gentleman, yeah. Very, very worldly. And this is what I asked him. I said, what is the biggest thing that you hear from your, patients,
yeah,
the people who are dying? And he says, the regret of things that they should have done.
Wow.
And you know what? As Christians, we should live with no regrets.
Yeah.
We're given so much. And we're actually given a purpose.
Yeah.
And if we know what our purpose is for those things, it's amazing what we can do with it. And then there's the peace and joy that we feel because we're doing God's will.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, it could be Little League. It could be, you know, if God's tugging on your heart, let me just say this to anyone who's listening. You can be 18 years, you can be 16 years old, you could be 10. You know, you can make a difference in another child's life. You can be 101 and make a difference in a child's life.
Absolutely.
But God, you know, God, there's two commandments that God calls us. And I spoke at CYFD the other day up in the mountains. And this is what I told him. There are two things that you can be sure of. These are commandments of the Lord. Number one, you tell people about Christ and the good news of salvation. That's not a suggestion that God gives us. That's a command.
Yeah, go
Number
out.
Two, you care for the widows and the orphans. And there's a purpose in that. It's really because God is taking care of us, the least of these. When he picked the Jews, he says, I'm picking the least. With us, widows and orphans are the most vulnerable, I think I'm saying that right, folks on earth. And he wants us to reach out and be God, be Christ-like is what I mean by that, and take these people under our wings and be, you know, to take care for them. He did it for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting, the widows and orphans, because you think about that, the orphans are the fatherless and the widows are those without husbands. God, our Heavenly Father, Jesus, the our groom, basically, we are the bride of Christ.
Yeah.
The two very plain as day illustrations in Scripture of our relationship with the Father, our relationship with Jesus Christ, and the human aspect of that is that's what they're missing in human form, and it's what we need, and we desire that, we crave that, and man, I'll tell you what.
As deep and theological as it all is, because it is.
Yeah, we can.
You know what I mean?
Talk.
It's
yeah.
amazing. How simple the simplicity of doing God's work is. Because He calls you, and this is what we believe. God calls us to do something, and we say, yes, sir, on my way.
Right.
And that's
man,
where
and,
we go.
And guess what? Sometimes you're going to feel tired. Yesterday, you work long days. There's a lot of stuff going on at the station here right now. Some changes being made. And I know, so there's stresses at
work.
Good
changes.
But yes, absolutely. That doesn't necessarily mean that at the end of the day when I leave work here, I get to have an excuse to be grumpy or to be too tired to invest in the life of my children, because my children don't deal with that. They don't. They go to school, and then at the end of the day, they just want to hang out with their dad. And
but
so,
you know the reason for the sacrifice. Yeah. And that's really where we need to go. You know, if you're at work and you know what? If you have gambling debt, just going back to that, if you have drug problems, if you have debt, if you have problems at work, you know what? It's still worth the sacrifice of going home and loving your kids and teaching them right from wrong and making a difference in their life.
Yeah.
Because that small sacrifice, not only is it going to give your children and the people around you personal gain, but it also gives you personal gain.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what. I'm going to dote on my roommate for a second.
What?
He doesn't have kids. But he inherited a couple kids. And he works out. You know, he goes to CrossFit, and he comes home, and he's sweating. He's like, that was intense, and I'm exhausted, and I'm going to take a shower and crash. However, my boys love this pull-up bar that he has. And I'm sorry if I'm embarrassing you. But
I'm not embarrassed.
My
ever.
Boys will hang out, and they look forward to every day, Teo, we'll put up this pull-up bar and go, all right, Luke, let's go. And it's like, let's just do 10 today. And it takes all of 5 minutes tops for Matt to grab one of them, put them on this pull-up bar, and then guide them through 10 pull-ups. And then the next one. But they're like, pull-ups? Pull-ups? And they look forward to that moment. And this guy who works all day, who works out, who comes home exhausted, takes that moment, and you see them light up. It has an effect on my children. Mm. And I love that. And I think it's incredible, and if people would just realize it is work, but it's so much more beneficial to you, because you never realize how much you are blessed by sharing that, because to see a child's face light up, to see them excited, it reinvigorates you, it rejuvenates you. And I don't care how freaking tired I am, if my boys' faces light up for something that they loved or they're excited, I'm excited. I get jazzed. And I'm telling you, dads, be involved. Mm. I don't care what kind of day you had. It's not your kid's fault that you had that chaotic day. We all have chaotic days, but that doesn't give you the right to shirk your responsibility, just like this guy who got drunk in Vegas and said, it's not my fault.
Yeah.
I was drunk, and you got me drunk, so I don't have to pay this bill. Clay, you're a dad.
Tell me a little bit about that video you showed me, because I want to post the link.
Yeah. You know, it's a great video. Someone just, I got it last night, but it says this troubled 10-year-old brings drill instructor close to tears. And it's pretty cool because they bring this kid on the show, and they're going to plug him in with this drill instructor to kind of get his life
toughen
back
him up
in order.
Yeah, scared straight.
And, you know, halfway through the video, he goes, you want me to be your daddy? And all of a sudden, the kid goes, yes, sir. And all of a sudden, the drill instructor says, well, you know, he's kind of taken back a minute.
Right.
And he goes, well, why do you want me to be your daddy? And he says, because I don't have a dad.
Oh.
But you got to watch it, because it's a phenomenal, phenomenal video. But it really reminds me of, you know what? There's a lot of times that you have kids that are acting out. You know why? Because they don't have someone to wrap arms around them. And as much as I feel that a man is important in a young boy's life, let me say this. The women out there that feel God's calling to come alongside these kids, introduce them to Christ.
Amen.
Because he is our father and our dad. And I don't ever want Christian women to believe that as single moms that you can't raise up good, godly boys.
Right.
Now, with that being said, men, if you see a single mom out there, and come alongside her, you know, get plugged into some of these programs. Invite them to the movies. Take mom with you.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a date. It doesn't have to be awkward. If husbands and wives, if you know a single lady out there, you know, come alongside them and bring them up and have them over for barbecues and introduce them to God's love through those kind of things. There are so many. The Aspen Project, you know, the reason that it's really evolved into something other than a just an adoption agency?
Oh, I got it. It's good.
Okay. An adoption agency, is it really evolved into anything that imprints Christ on a child's heart? And yeah. That's really, it's exploded, but it's given us avenues that are really exciting to go down.
Yeah. AspenProject.org for details on that. Posted the video that will make you weep at our Facebook page, facebook.com/mystaticradio.
And we've got a link to the Aspen Project's profile on Facebook. And that you can find all the information you need right there. Right,
hey,
Clay.
You can. Mostly, you know, you can go to AspenProject.org, Facebook, project-zoe.org. You know, we got a lot of stuff going on. We're in need of a lot of help. You know, we need some administrative help. We're going to need some more design and web design. So if you want to come alongside us as well, you know, one way you can help a child, if you know, is to help us keep up and running. It's the same way that people support this radio station, and it keeps getting the word out.
Yeah.
Plus, we get to make fun of some idiot that lost $500,000 in Vegas because he drank too much.
Facebook.com/mystaticradio for all the details on that. Dude, thank you so much for coming in and hanging out.
Thanks for
with
always
us.
Allowing us.
Of
hey,
course.
I get to speak at a mayor's luncheon about Aspen Project. I'm all stoked. So,
is
guys, keep me in prayer.
Up?
No, I'm going to work.
Oh, okay. You look nice, man. You look nice.
My wife dresses me every morning.
Facebook.com/mystaticradio to check out all the details in that incredible video. Maybe it'll kickstart something in your heart and make you, I don't know, get involved. Kickstart something in your heart.
You just reminded me. I woke up with that Satellites and Sirens song, Jumpstart My Heart, in my head this morning. I was so mad. Because Mitch was complaining the other day. She was complaining the other day about how it was stuck in her head and she couldn't escape it. She went to a restaurant and they were playing it at the restaurant. And then I woke up this morning, it's like, Jumpstart! And I was like, no!
Yeah.
Panda!
I will not play
me!
That song in the show today.
I promise
you
will. It's queued up!
No. Okay, not happening.
Good.
All right, details, facebook.com/mystaticradio, coming up in 27 minutes. Theology Thursday, you can get your questions in now, studio@mystaticradio.com. Pastors Jarrett Petro and Brian Nixon coming in to hang out with us. That's on the way. Right now, though, a boy and his kite.
Neat.
Yeah. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
Welcome back.
Now back to Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Good morning.
Welcome.
We got two scribes holing up here in the studio.
They're in the back. I refuse to turn their mics on yet. They're 15
Don't turn
minutes
them
early.
On.
I'm not.
Don't.
Still our show.
They come here to hang out with us.
They really do.
Because they like hanging out with us.
9 o'clock kicks off Theology Thursday. It's coming up in T-minus 14 minutes, and I'll tell you what, I'm really excited about today.
Yep.
We're going to be talking about personal responsibility.
Yes, we're going to discuss this gambling case a little bit.
Yeah.
But then that's going to kind of blend into some awesome topics. We got Christian perfectionism. We have artificial intelligence, nanotechnology.
We're going to talk about the discovery of Noah's Ark.
Oh.
If it really is...
Did
Noah's
it?
Ark.
Because recently a guy uncovered a cuneiform little tablet, and he's making some claims about Noah's Ark.
Yeah.
And he is, if you could picture a guy that studies cuneiform, ancient languages.
I've already got it.
If you could picture what he looks like,
you know who he looks like exactly?
Who?
Okay. Two words, maybe three, depends on how you spell it. Never-ending story.
Oh my gosh.
It's the old guy who's studying those two, like...
Yes! Whoa! And that's two words. Never ending is one. he also looks like... I don't know if you guys ever saw this, but there was a movie in the 80s called The Santa Claus... Or Santa Claus the Movie.
Oh, yeah!
He looks like the original Santa Claus that passed down the lineage or passed down the title
he's
to the
new... He's
a
guy from Never Ending Story!
Oh, my gosh. He really does look like him.
He does.
And he sounds... He's like...
He made it!
Well, this guy sounds... quite a bit smarter. I watched the video of this guy, and it was like, I'd love to hear you talk all the time. It's like when N.T. Wright talks, and you just listen, and you're like, I don't know what he's saying. But it sounds so good. Can you make Siri sound like N.T. Wright? That would be awesome.
I wonder if you could. Hey, check it out. We are taking your questions. It's just a few minutes away. Theology Thursday. We need to hear from you, though. Studio@mystaticradio.com. That is our email address. You can also give us a call, 505-338-3700. Not yet, but we're going to take this one right now anyways.
Okay.
Static.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, so are you guys ready for the best idea to happen since sliced bread?
Is it a hoverboard? Sure.
I wish.
Okay. All right.
You guys should have a scavenger hunt.
Scavenger hunt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just saying something fun, something exciting. It has nothing to do with anything you're talking about today. But
yeah,
just imagine it. Static scavenger hunt.
I'd love
Make it like over like the course of like a week.
Yeah.
Or like some type of like campaign thing to like I don't know, do something.
I've got a great idea.
It's awesome and everyone will love it.
Since this is your idea, you obviously know a lot of things about local businesses. So here's what you're gonna do. You, sir, are going to go to local businesses and have them give us free things that we can bury throughout the city. And then we'll have treasure for our scavenger hunt.
Don't you have to be really careful burying stuff around Albuquerque? Because don't they dig up crazy things every once in a while? Because I'm pretty sure that you told me before I moved here that there was a dig over in the west side of town, and they found a lot of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Good call.
It's kind of crazy.
But, maybe you don't have to bury it, you know, to be like one of those things where it's to be like, not necessarily graffiti, but like a poster put up, or I'm just saying the possibility is endless.
Yes,
and if
are.
You really wanted me to go talk to businesses, I know, sure, why not? I like you guys enough to put my neck out there.
We love that.
I will say this: if I'm involved in a scavenger hunt and I get to pick where things are placed, the most important item will be in a bear cave, and it will be life or death stakes to get that thing out. And I'm not talking medium rare. I'm talking
amazing. Yeah,
like, you will die if you don't get it out.
I love it.
Because the bear will kill you. And you won't.
Like what
you
kind of bear? Are we talking like a grizzly bear? Are we talking like a little panda bear?
We're talking.
I would wrestle a panda.
We're talking about the kind of bear that tried to kill me and Steve-O that morning here on the campus.
Yeah.
He didn't try to kill us.
Then you mean the little furry one that came up?
Okay. Yes, the furry.
If by little and furry you mean 20 feet tall and 50 foot long, and it weighed 16 tons.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. Yeah.
I wrestled that bear to the ground.
Yeah, you too.
Have a good one.
Random phone call.
Static. Have a good.
Hey, did you hear about the hoverboard that they invented?
Yeah, it's except fake. It's not fake. It's, fake. Or it's not real. It's fake.
Funny or Die already came out and said, sorry, guys. We got your hopes up.
Yeah.
And Tony Hawk already apologized for being a part of the video because people were really upset.
They had to issue a public apology because so many people were genuinely upset about the possibility of a hoverboard being dashed from their from their lives.
I was so excited. I watched that video, too.
Yeah, I know.
Yep. So, thanks for the call. Public service announcement. Sadly, the hoverboards that are going around the interwebs right now from Back to the Future.
Not real.
Not real.
It was a Funny or Die skit, and it wasn't very funny, and now I want to die.
Wow.
Man, Jared Petro's busting out, like, new technology.
I know. I don't know what happened to this guy.
It's going to be good. If you have a question for Theology Thursday, you have time to get it in. You can email us studio@mysaticradio.com. Put Theology Thursday in the subject line so we can click on it. We know exactly what to expect.
Absolutely.
Or you can post to our Facebook. I'm putting up a status right now. It's going to have a picture of the Theology Thursday logo. Or you can call us.
505-338-3700. Right back. Theology Thursday.
Your favorite segment and ours.
On Team Awesome Morning Party.
Right now.
Static.
What are you talking about?
What kind of talk is this anyway?
Theology Thursday with Steve-O and Mateo, featuring pastors Brian Nixon and Jared Petro.
Here it comes.
Let's begin.
Science and technology in the future.
And science.
And Nacho Libre.
And science.
Where do they meet? On Theology Thursday.
Yep.
That's what we're talking about today. The theological implications of a movie like Nacho Libre.
Woo!
The effect it has on the way you present the gospel in tight spandex.
I can't wait.
Right?
I can't
that's
wait.
Sort of it. Yeah.
All right.
That's in the ballpark.
In studio with us, pastors Jared Petro.
Great.
Brian.
It's great to be here, man.
Thanks, R2.
was in the back.
Oh,
I was reading the text. Sorry about that.
We learned a little thing about marketing this week, so I have to actually call you guys by your real name so that it like catches on. I can't call you Nizzle. I can't call you Beenix. I can't call you Beenizzle. I can't call you Brad.
Beenix is my name, though. Beenix is my name.
All right, we'll go with Beenix.
We don't have the problem with Jared because his last name starts with a P, so it would be Pizzle or Pix. It all sounds like cuss words, so we just call him Jared Petro.
We call him J-Pix.
J-Pix. That sounds like some crappy camera or something.
The new camera, J-Pix.
It is Theology Thursday, our one-hour call-in show focused on the theological deepness of Scripture and science.
Yes.
Or whatever. If you would like to ask a question, our phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. Intern Douglas, he is in the next room taking your phone calls, getting us prepared, telling us everything we need to
know. This is why I like Doug, because I said, hey, Doug, love you. And he said, love you more. On the chat.
He's really running things behind the scenes in the next room.
We're chatting like it's 1996 over here.
Give him a call. Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. You can also email us if you don't have time to stay on the phone for these guys to give their 20-minute dissertation on Nacho Libre. Send an email, studio@mystaticradio.com as well. But I know you guys came in here with thoughts and ideas.
Yeah, but we, you know, the 338-3700 number, we like to talk to people as well.
We really do.
You know, the email questions, the Twitter questions, all of that, that's cool. But we like, you know, voice-to-voice interaction. So that's why 338-3700 is so important.
It's the way to go. So, all right, you came in here with some crazy, never-ending story type stuff. We've got a lot to discuss today. So, gentlemen, where would you like to begin?
Let's let Nixon start it off.
All right, Nixon, where do you want to go?
It's always a good one.
Well, I thought, you know, it would be interesting to discuss Noah.
Mm.
And the reason being is there is a movie coming out with Russell Crowe that is very popular. Obviously, it's not out, so we haven't seen it. We cannot comment on the movie itself yet.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So if you call in, we don't know about the movie. But I do know that Ray Comfort has put out a movie kind of in response to the Noah. But all of that aside, the more intriguing thing, which is a real newsworthy item, is that an ancient cuneiform document has been found that actually has an interesting parallel to the Noah account. The major difference between the biblical record that we find there in Genesis 7, Genesis 8, and what's found on this cuneiform tablet, an ancient writing tablet, is that the boat is round. So it just goes to show that there is some sort of common denominator. There is a flood narrative throughout the world that various cultures have picked up. And what's interesting about this cuneiform tablet is they think that it's about 4,000 years old. So what that means is this could be one of the oldest stories about the flood in written form. So, though it doesn't match completely the biblical record, it does show that at least 4,000 years ago, it was an important date that some cultures felt it important to write it down.
You know, it's interesting, Brian, because, you know, people as they listen to this and think about Noah and this worldwide flood, universal flood, I mean, it really does just seem like some, you know, legend or just some story. But let's say if I was approaching this for the first time and I was to ask you, you know, why the flood? Let's say if it is possible, and of course from a biblical standard, we do believe it because it's a narrative in the scriptures, followed through even into the New Testament. But as we look at it, why a flood? I mean, you think, why would God destroy the world? And going back just even a little further into Genesis 6, taking a couple different theories, there's more of a conservative theory of why God would judge the earth, all equaling that there was sin upon the earth, abounding flesh was just crazy and gnarly. But let me ask you that. So why the flood? Why would God judge the world that way?
We don't know. Yeah. I mean, ultimately, that's something that the Lord chose for his own purposes and his own will to do it. Probably the flood, because it is a cleansing mechanism. Water is a cleansing mechanism. And so not only does it do its job well in that it can, you know, take out and cleanse the earth, but it also has symbolic, you know, overtones as well. You know, the washing of, you know, us from sin. And we have, you know, in baptism today. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, it doesn't necessarily, we don't give an, the Bible doesn't give any kind of clear reason why the Lord chose water. He just did it.
Now, you know what the most crazy thing I think about when I think of the flood and I think of Noah and Noah's ark and putting animals on the ark, according to the biblical passage, it says that God brought the animals and such. But think about how gnarly it was pre-flood, just right when Noah was building this ark. Talk about a little bit of the craziness when we talk about demons possessing men, or this thing called the Nephilim, when they, you know, you have different theories, of course, but how bad was the earth? You know, according to Genesis, if you don't mind me reading it, can you give us the two viewpoints after I read this, just about, you know, the two sides that take on this? For one, you have when it came to pass, and this is Genesis 6, where it says men began to multiply on the face of the earth. Daughters were born to men. And then there were the sons of God. They saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives unto themselves, of whom they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit will not strive with man forever, for indeed his flesh has become wicked, and his days will only be 120 years. Then there were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward. When the sons of God came into the daughters of men, they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men, the men of renown. God saw the wickedness of these men upon the earth, and the thought of their intent of their heart was evil continually. So God decides to destroy the earth. So talk to me a little bit about just a few of those things when you think about the sons of God, the daughters of men, the giants on the earth, where they came into the sons, you know, the sons of God came into the daughters of men. Do you believe there was demonic possession and like in...
Well, I mean, if we're talking Nephilim, we discussed that a couple of weeks ago on the broadcast. But essentially, the two views are that they are supernatural beings, kind of, you know, if you take some guys, you know, vantage point, they are, you know, demons, incarnated demons. The other perspective is that they're really real human beings who were possessed. And I happen to take that view, that they were real human beings. They were genetically a larger race of people, what we would call giants, and they had given themselves over completely to evil. I take the vantage point that they weren't a supernatural demon incarnating itself into human flesh. I think they're real humans. But we tackled that a couple of weeks ago. But what is clear from that narrative you just wrote, that story, is that there was a lot of craziness going on on earth. Yeah. There was a lot of evil, and the Lord eradicated the evil. And I think when you look at the flood story and Noah's story, a lot of the people who have complaints against it usually come from it, not from the supernatural side, why would God do it, but they do it from the scientific side. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it doesn't make sense. How would they be able to put all the different species in the boat, and the wooden ship in a violent storm, if it was really that violent, you know, that the boat would have been torn apart, and how would the animals survived in an ark? And they come up with all these different scenarios. And the reality is there are great explanations for each of those. And a lot of not only theologians, but scientists have given great thought to that. Probably one of the best descriptions from a scientific standpoint is Henry Morris, Dr. Mm-hmm. Henry Morris,
right,
who really discusses the science of the ark, how it was made, you know, the type of wood it was made of, such as gopher wood. It was made of gopher wood, which we do know in the natural environment has a lot of give. And it could bend, it could mold, it could shape without breaking. So the fact that it was gopher wood,
What size of ark are we talking here to be able to hold this capacity? Wasn't it like 450 feet long or something like that?
I mean, the reality is, just for our, you know, listeners to put a mental image, is that equals 569 railroad boxcars.
Wow.
So when you're watching a train go by, count 569 of those. And everyone goes, well, never goes up that long. You know, we only get to like 50 and then it ends. That's the point. 569 of those in your metric space is a lot of space. And then, you know, when you talk about the animals, you know, that were on there, you really have to come up with species versus kind. Are we talking about every kind of dog that, you know, from Chihuahua to Great Dane? Not that they were all at that time. No, we're talking about a dog, you know, one kind. So when you look at that, essentially, scientists have, you know, stretched this number out to about 150,000 different animal species. And then when you calculate that, can they fit on 569 railroad boxcars? The answer is yes, yes, yes. And then he goes on to say, could Noah have taken smaller, younger animals? Sure, he could have. So the reality is, though there are some people who would attack Noah's flood from a scientific vantage point, again, great answers out there. And I would just recommend people pick up Henry Morris's work on it, because he really does do a great job in talking about these type of things.
Yeah. And right. I think the size of the boat and stuff too, when it does give the dimensions in Genesis there too, as well, like you said. And the interesting thing is that, you know, it held all those animals, and obviously God brought those animals, as it talks about, to preserve life. And so, but I also think too, as you were talking about how the flood, believing whether it was universal or maybe even a more localized but pretty broad, that geography seems like it was different as well. So you get to take all those factors in.
Yeah.
The movie's going to be fascinating, I think. It's going to be interesting to see the spin on it, how wicked things were. And it's Hollywood. It's a movie. When people,
exactly.
I mean, just the movie Son of God, people were asking, it's out of chronological order and all this stuff. But in my mind, I'm just thinking, well, it's a movie.
It's a Hollywood movie.
It's a movie.
Right.
They're trying to do the best
they can.
It's not
like they're doing a documentary. And what I have read about the Noah film with Russell Crowe is that it does take a theistic evolutionary mindset, that it has a huge environmentalist, you know, mindset, which I'm not opposed to Christians being environmentalists. I think we should be good stewards of the earth.
Yeah.
But those are some of the arguments I've heard that are found throughout the story. But again, Jarrett's right. It's a movie, and we've got to take it for what it is.
And I want to talk about that coming up later. Our phone lines are jammed, so I definitely want to get to more questions. But the Son of God controversy, if you will, because it's been something that people have talked extensively about. So we can get to that if we have time later. But let's go to some of these phone calls, because there's some interesting questions. People on hold. So line one, hello, welcome to Theology Thursday.
Hello. Hey.
Hi.
Morning.
Hey, Brad. I was calling to see if y'all couldn't throw a couple scriptures my way. Mm-hmm. It's been a couple years since my mentor's passed, but with my mentor passing, I just quit going to church. I have no reason to go. But if you wouldn't mind throwing some scriptures my way, helping me out.
So, can you expound upon that a little more? Because a mentor being somebody who really instrumental in your life, got you to church.
I was going to church with my mom and dad, and then I couldn't really understand it because I'm born Spanish speaking. Well, when I was six, I went ahead and went with my aunt to a different church, and I met him there. His name is Chris. And since I was six, he helped me, mold me, answer any of my questions. He is the main reason I am who I am today.
Yeah.
Anything and everything I could ask or possibly think of, he'd have an answer for it.
Yeah.
Sounds like Jesus.
Yeah. So the larger question is you know, the biblical mandate of going to church. Why should we go to church? Jarrett, maybe you should tackle that.
Yeah, you know, I think in Hebrews, a book in the Bible there in the New Testament, talks about that we are not to forsake the assembly of the saints. And let me just say, my heart kind of goes out to you in the sense that, you know, you're seeking answers, and that's an awesome thing. I would say that seeking those answers is the search within your heart. And anybody who is seeking logical answers is in a great place. We want to give logical answers to those questions. With that said, you can trust that when God is working in someone's life and working in your life as I'm listening to this, is that you need to, you know, gives you the desire to search Scripture, and you shouldn't be out of fellowship. You should be going to a church where you're hearing the Bible being taught, that you are growing in your faith. One of the key things that Christ talked about is that we would even be called to be a disciple and to make disciples. And so it's important that we are growing in our faith, that we're learning what the Lord wants us to learn. So we're renewed in the mind. It says in Romans, to throw you a scripture, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, that as we lay our life down, our body down as a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service, then as we do that, then we are told that we are to be renewed in the mind by the power of God's word. God renews our mind by the word of God. And so there's a whole shift of change in our life. There's a desire, there's a hunger for God's word. We call the milk of the word. And as we grow, then we have like more of the meat of the word, and we're growing deeper, coming to the Lord with honest questions, and God is never afraid of answering a question with a solid answer. So I'd encourage you, as you pray, read your Bible, the basics of the Christian life. It's like the food groups of the basic Christian life. So you need to be in fellowship. Like Acts 2:42, chapter 2, verse 42 in Acts, it says that we are to be in the apostles' doctrine, which is the word of God, in prayer, fellowship, and communion with Jesus Christ. And that includes the body of Christ, therefore the church. So I hope that answered your question.
Are you local to the Albuquerque area?
No, sir. I'm actually down here in Hobbs.
Okay. I was going to try and offer up, because I know there's a few churches, including Calvary, with translators who
absolutely
can, yeah, rock it in Spanish.
And also, I mean, speaking of technology, you can tune in anytime at calvaryabq.org,
yep,
and watch a Bible study. With the technology we have today, literally you can have church in your home. So I would say start there first. Start watching Bible studies online, get into and go to Calvary.
Yeah, I've had a couple of my best friends who I've had. It's me and like six others that have had him since we're like little. Yeah. And they're the ones that are actually getting me back in the church.
Yeah.
And like, I understand where they're coming from, and they've thrown me a couple of Bible scriptures, but every time they throw me a Bible scripture, it's like something tells me, like, yeah, that's not what you need. You need something more. You need something deeper.
Yeah.
And as I ask them these questions, a lot of the times I stump them, and every time I stump them, it like makes me hurt inside, because it's like, hey, what happened? You used to be like so in a church, and then his passing and just everything fell apart.
Well, let me give you some last things here. So, you know, and I just encourage you, go look on calvaryabq.org. Got a lot of great resources with Pastor Skip Heidzik. And what you're going to find is that there are ways, there's a systematic way to go through the Bible, answers a lot of these questions. Also, our website at Static Radio with the Theology Thursday, we tackle a lot of these questions if you have questions regarding mm-hmm. that. But first and foremost, what you need to do is just have your own Bible and read that. Get in fellowship in a church that is teaching the Bible. And anybody, again, who knows the scriptures is going to be able to handle those questions. And also, it's a healthy thing that you're asking. You know, you have really decent questions that you want answers to. So.
In his passing, this is what I think hit me hardest was he had his own personal Bible, and when we're reading his will and everything, that Bible was given to me.
Yeah.
And it's like highlighted and through the entire Bible, and it's like the way he highlighted it, I can't make sense of it.
Yeah.
And it's like I try to read it and try to ignore the highlighting, but as I see the highlighting and all the different colors.
That is great stuff. And you know, Jarrett Petro and another pastor here on staff have just completed a new believers booklet of, you know, what you should do as a someone asking these great questions, some steps to take. I would encourage you to give us a call and really get that resource, because it can walk through you systematically, step by step, of ways for you to grow in your faith. And because ultimately, as the body of Christ, that's what we want each other to do. We want each other to grow. So I would call the church. I would call even Parchments. So 1-844-PARCHMENTS, 1-844-PARCHMENTS, and they could help service you as well. But we do appreciate your call, and thanks for giving us a ring down there from Hobbs.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks for the call. 505-338-3700, the phone number. I also question, I guess I'm the skeptic. When I hear stories like that, my immediate question is the motivation.
Right.
What is the motivation? Because he's talking about not wanting to be in church, and the only reason he ever really wanted to be in church was for this dude who brought him up and helped him. And when that happens and you fall away, well, where's the foundation for your faith? Was it in that human being? Because every human being is going to fail you. Not everybody's going to. No one has every answer.
Yeah.
There are going to be times where we get a question, we might be stumped, and we have to research it and come back the next week to talk about it. So
exactly,
every human being is going to to misstep. Yeah.
And that's why I tackled it from the standpoint of maybe he's a new believer and really just understanding those foundational principles. But I appreciate the fact that he called asking questions, that he's listening down there in Hobbs. And our prayer is that he would just continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ.
Now, with that, we got an email question that coincides with this. So I want to tackle this if we can out in Liberty University. He's a graduating senior there. He says, I wanted to ask about Christian perfectionism, as we're talking about human beings making mistakes. He says, the Nazarenes, Methodists, and Wesleyans teach the doctrine that, to my understanding, is a Christian can get to a point in their walks where they are no longer sinning. I have a friend who is a Nazarene pastor and talked to me about this. He says, I think this is a dangerous and incorrect belief, and he cited a few scripture places, Ecclesiastes 7:20, 1 John 1:8-9. Yep. What do you guys think?
Well, I'll start off and then let Jarrett finish up. We would actually agree with our listener from Virginia there, who we don't believe in what we would call Christian perfectionism from a Wesleyan standpoint. Now, all that said, we love John and Charles Wesley. We appreciate so much of what they taught and believed. And as a matter of fact, Calvary's are essentially, you know, of the same family tree.
Okay.
However, we would disagree with the fact that someone can, in this lifetime, reach a state of perfection. The two major arguments that Christian perfectionists throw out is Jesus said, be ye holy or be ye perfect as, you know, essentially your Father is perfect. And that's one of the major scripture points. So they assume that if Jesus said that, therefore there must be a way that we can attain perfection in this life. And there are other ones from Paul and such. But not only when you look at the word perfect, you know, it can be translated holy, set apart. There's different translations of that. But then when you go to the other scripture verses that the listener said, you know, 1 John and others, you really begin to get a realistic picture of our condition. In this life, in the sanctification process, we will sin. John says it clearly. He who, you know, says he's without sin is a liar.
Yeah.
So the point is, we've got to look at the totality of Scripture. We just can't take one little saying of Jesus and then base a whole doctrine on it. Right. We have to look at what the Holy Spirit has spelled out through the totality of Scripture.
Yeah, and I'd add two other words, positional and practical. Positionally, as sinners, we move from that position. Christ has died for our sins or our sin nature. So we think about when Christ went to the cross and poured out his blood for us, he removed us from a position of being a sinner, if you will, to a saint. And so with that, positionally, we've been changed. And so even when 1 John talks about that, we had a sinful nature. Now, we carry that because the flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God, but we need to be transformed. And so we're going to receive a new body, as we're told in the Bible. So from the positional point, we've made a transition. Practically now, and the second point is that daily we do sin, or we can sin. Now, we can be confronted with temptation, whether it's through the world or maybe an attack from the enemy that thrives on those temptations and monitors our life and throws those things in front of us. But practically, as the Holy Spirit, as a new believer, positionally changing, practically we are wanting to walk with the Lord. We're living practically, wanting to make right decisions, living in the Spirit rather than the flesh. Not to be immune from sin, because we are sinners. We were born in the nature of Adam, but the new Adam, speaking of Christ, has changed us. So I would say positionally, that has been changed, but practically as we live, there are going to be incidences, and of course, as we confront the world, where we're going to be falling into sin. Even our mindset is being changed. So can we ever really receive perfection from sin? I say ultimately, yeah, when we're glorified in the presence of the Lord. Right. But as long as we're on the earth and the earth is fallen, it is an impossibility because of the nature of the earth and our own body, our flesh itself. Yeah.
So we would agree with this caller, listener from Virginia. And how cool it is that they're listening in Virginia at Liberty University.
He also high-fived Jarrett because he's young earth and gave you a
shout-out. Oh, he did?
Yeah,
oh.
So there you go. Speaking of shout-outs, we got a phone call from Southeastern Baptist in Hobbs, New Mexico.
Excellent.
The phone number there is 575-392-4456, and they actually give out free Bibles and would absolutely be willing to help the last caller along in Hobbs.
Awesome. Awesome.
Thanks for that partnership.
So shout out to Hobbs, New Mexico.
Thank you.
Yes.
A few listeners down there.
Appreciate
so
that.
Cool that they reached out to this young guy in Hobbs instantly. God bless the Baptist University down there in Hobbs.
Thank you guys.
So cool.
Appreciate that.
Awesome.
There you go. All right. Phone lines are open. We have a phone line open right now for you. 505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. Let's get to line two right now. We've got a question, I believe, about blasphemy. All right.
All right.
Welcome to Theology Thursday. Hello.
Good morning.
Morning.
Okay, so I'll try to summarize this as best as I can. In my high school years, I was working on a book, and at some point in time, I do plan on working on this again. Mm-hmm. But in this book, I do involve heaven and hell. I involve a lot of biblical history. And I even, and this is, bear in mind, this whole story I created was not to try to be rude in any fashion, but I created a quote-unquote, a backstory that predates human life, like the idea that God had created a race of beings before he created the universe, before he created Earth. Granted, this is all fairy tale and make-believe. Mm-hmm. But I remember talking to some people who said, well, this is extremely blasphemous. You're saying this, that, and the other, and that. It was all meant to be just
sci-fi.
Yeah,
you know, just like Lord of the Rings type stuff.
Yeah.
But I wanted to use actual something powerful, something real, to make it really kind of really stand out. And so, being raised Catholic, you know, and a Christian my whole life, this was the most real and the most powerful thing that I could think of, and it just kind of worked for the for what I was doing. At what point in time, just telling a story, do you think it gets to the borderline where it is or is not blasphemous?
Well, let me just start off by saying, you know, I appreciate your heart just wanting to be sensitive to blaspheming the Lord. And especially, you know, when you're writing a story or a narrative like that, I would take no regard in that. I mean, it's a story, and it's just like as we were talking about movies that are produced through Hollywood. Do we look at that as blasphemy? It can be in the sense if it's a direct attack against the Son of God, but when it is a story being told outside of that, like you're saying, in a fantasy, sci-fi kind of thing that is outside that, there is nothing wrong with that. I believe in Matthew, and I would think of blasphemy when Jesus specifically talks about blasphemy. He refers to the person of the Holy Spirit in Matthew 12:31, when he talks about the blasphemy that would keep a person out of heaven. He says in chapter 12 of Matthew 31, he says, therefore I say to you, every sin and of blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, speaking of Jesus himself, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven that person, either in this age or the age to come. So I would say if the context of what you're writing is not in reference to the Holy Spirit or the person of God and a direct assault, there's nothing wrong with that. I could say that there are Martians on a different planet doesn't make me, you know, blasphemous at all. You know, if anything, when I think about God being the designer, the creative designer, intelligent design, God can create whatever he wants, whether it would be the angelic realm, whether it would be human beings and so forth. So to say that, you know, I wrote this story that was sci-fi and I'm concerned that, you know, people are saying it's blasphemous, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think if it is a direct assault against the Holy Spirit, though, that's a whole different story.
And I think also what, Jared, you pointed out, which is great, is you have to define blasphemy. You have to understand what that term means.
Yeah.
Now, what we're saying is what you're explaining to us through your novel, it's not blasphemy. Now, the other question is it biblical? Well, the question is, does it need to be? You know, you're not trying to write a biblical narrative here. You're not trying to say this is how the Bible describes it. You are writing a narrative, a novel. So the point, even if someone goes, well, it's not biblical, then you would come out and say, well, I'm not trying to, you know, say something biblically. I'm trying to write a novel. I'm trying to do a work of art.
Yeah, I immediately thought of C.S. Lewis.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. At the beginning of The Great Divorce, C.S. Lewis says, hey, I am not saying that this is biblical. I'm not saying this is real. This is a story.
Yeah.
And The Great Divorce, if you were to take it literally and say he's rewriting the Bible, then what C.S. Lewis was he would be saying is, hey, after you die, you have all eternity to decide whether or not you want to go to hell or heaven.
Right.
A lot of people don't realize that. And then in Narnia, I mean, there's tons of stuff in there, but C.S. Lewis was careful to point out, hey, this is a story. It's fiction.
Yeah. If you want to go science fiction, I thought of Out of the Silent Planet, his space trilogy, which is incredible. So, yeah, that's good company if you're talking C.S.
And I think
Lewis,
at the bottom of it, too, God knows your heart. If you're blaspheming him, that's between you and him, and he knows your heart.
Yeah.
So no matter whatever anybody comes in and says, if you're not blaspheming God in your heart, then, you know, that's ultimately, you know, that's what Jesus said. It's not like, it's what's inside of you.
Yeah.
And it doesn't sound to me like you are, but I mean, that's, again, between you and God.
Does that help you out?
That did tremendously. That makes me feel a little bit better.
Thank you.
I said, this was something I put a good chunk of time into. The only reason I stopped working on it was because my computer crashed and I lost my entire first book. Every time I sit down to write, I just get so frustrated that I can't focus on it.
Maybe
but
you really were blaspheming the Holy Spirit and God condemned you by destroying your computer. I'm totally
kidding. That's terrible, Steve-O Jeter.
I'm totally kidding.
Anyways, guys, thank you very much.
Thanks for the call.
And in eight short words, I could destroy his life.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing, though, because people will take that and freak out and go, I blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And then I've heard others who say, well, if you're feeling a conviction and you don't confess a sin, or you don't talk to the person you're supposed to, or you don't forgive that person in that moment the way you were, that's blaspheming the Holy Spirit. So what is, as we define it, what can that be a form of blaspheming the Holy Spirit, and what does it mean to blaspheme the Holy Spirit? Jarrett just
defined it. Blaspheming the Holy Spirit is denying Christ.
Okay.
Because the Holy Spirit testifies to the lordship of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit points to Christ.
Okay.
So when the only person of the Godhead that we have direct contact with in this life now is through the Holy Spirit.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit's saying, you need Jesus, you need Jesus, you need Jesus. So when you deny Jesus, you are blaspheming the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is doing a clarion call to say, the world needs the Lord. And when you deny that, so essentially, blaspheming the Holy Spirit is denying Christ.
Yeah, and you know, the Holy Spirit takes on a variety of names, like the Spirit of Truth. He is the witness, but even Jesus said, for a few scripture references for those of our listeners, is if you read John chapters 14 through 16, you get a clear idea of the Holy Spirit's role in the present state of the world. And then also in Matthew 12, 31 and 32, you see that blasphemy of the Holy Spirit passage. But I would read before and read after that passage so you get a full scope of the context. Don't just read those few verses. Understand that a proper way to approach with like a interpretive mind or hermeneutic mind is actually to read before and after to get the full scope of what's being spoken. So
the context.
It is Theology Thursday. There's still plenty of time to get a question in. You can do so by giving us a call, 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700.
I think we need to tackle. Jarrett was passionate about coming in today, talking about artificial intelligence, the new technology that's coming out. And not only is it a fascinating topic, which I do agree, but the larger implications of what it means for us as human beings and what it means in an end time scenario. So, Jarrett, why don't you wax eloquent?
I would love to. And you're going to play my song from Kip. I love it. I love technology. Well, let me just say this. Let me just start out by saying, what I see about nanotechnology and
sci-fi.
And biotechnology.
Sci-fi.
I love it.
Okay, sorry.
They're making fun of me.
No,
so those of our listeners.
No. I read Isaac Asimov. I love robots. Come on.
Hey, well, guys, robots aren't real.
Yeah, that's right.
At all.
You are amped on this.
All right.
Let's dig in for real.
Sounds good.
I'll let you go.
Well, you know, when I think about just the world we're living in and just the news articles that have come across, the news that we read in the different media formats, It's very interesting the day and age we live in. Mm. Jesus said that we would be living in the last days even from his ascension, and so we're really like in the last hours of the last day if we really consider the scope of that. But when I think about, you know, it's an interesting, even going back to Daniel, I was reading this passage in Daniel chapter 2 where it talked about in the days of these kings that would begin to mix with the seed of man. They would begin to mingle, is the word that's used, to mingle with the seed of man. In those days is when the Son of Man would come. And so many different viewpoints on that in regard to technology and cloning, human cloning and artificial intelligence. Speaking about nanotechnology is just one component of it. But I was reading a few articles, and I just thought it was the implication of nanotechnology and how, what is it being used for? And from everything from Facebook wanting to purchase Titan Aerospace here in New Mexico.
Yeah, we saw that.
Yeah, that these, you know, just for surveillance, but also for communication purposes. You see a fast approach in this generation with technology and some great things happening with nanotechnology. But it's in reference to Daniel, though, is what my heart was starting with, is just the mixing with the seed of man and cloning, the purposes of, you know, cyborgs and all this. And we're not too far from that. I mean, growing up myself in the 80s, thinking about Star Wars and movies like this and drones, which is pretty normal nowadays in the sense of, could it be possible that we have that? All that to say, where does the line stop is, I guess, my question to the listeners as I would pose this for Colin. We want to kind of tackle this and start to think about where's the line, where's the threshold there when we think about the end times and the mixing of the seed of man, according to Daniel, in the last days before the coming of Christ and artificial intelligence and nanotechnology.
Let me just chime in here. Several years ago, I wrote a short article, and I'd encourage all of our listeners to go on to Facebook. And Matt Mateo just posted an article where I deal with these and their importance, not only for the church, but society, because the reality is technology, artificial intelligence, the projected self, all of these components are a reality that's before us right now. Now, we may not have the technological advancement, you know, in our day-to-day lives, from the standpoint of the projected self and, you know, what we would see on Star Wars and Star Trek. But it's coming. And it's not just me saying it. There's a whole school of thought of people out there who do believe that robots should have rights just like humans
private
have rights.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There is a whole movement within the artificial intelligence community that is working towards all these things, Jarrett, you just pointed out. But it's a good article for someone to read. So go to the Facebook, and Mateo just posted the article, and people could get a sense of what's going on.
Yeah. You sound like a dad. Go to the Facebook.
Go to
Facebook.
If you could go, I wrote an article with my typewriter 47 years ago. Go to the Facebook.
Go to Facebook.
Facebook.com/mySaticRadio. I have to pick on you.
You did pick on me, but that's okay. I like it because I don't have a Facebook page.
So here's the question. As we talk about this, it sounds to me
you're right,
as though, biblically speaking, to equip ourselves, it would be better for us to go see RoboCop than Son of God.
In so many ways, you're
right. Did you guys see RoboCop?
No, yet.
That is actually what is talked about in RoboCop not being funny.
RoboCop talks about determinism, free will, where is the human soul?
Yes.
Like, it's crazy.
Where does it begin? Where does it end?
It really
and that
does.
Is truly the purpose of this new RoboCop film. It's not like the 80s where it was like shooting guys and lots of F words. It was truly this human being, this artificial intelligence, the machine taking over the mind versus the human mind and the soul and who wins. And I'm telling you right now.
I see the white in your eyes, brother.
And not crazy.
And several years ago, Minority Report did the same thing. And all of this is discussing what we're seeing, a cultural shift, what's called faux modern or pseudo modern.
Thank you, Brian.
So what most historians or theorists or projectors are saying that we are now moving into a new epic, which is interesting because when you look at the postmodern era, it really came into fruition right after World War II. The fact that we could be moving into a new epic, what we're calling pseudo-modern or faux-modern,
is
fascinating.
We're just transitioning past postmodern right into faux-modern.
Exactly. And it's the idea of projected self, artificial intelligence, all these things Jarrett was putting out.
And let me give you the reference again for those of you listening or maybe tuning in. In Daniel chapter 2, this is kind of how spurred it on as I was reading the articles on artificial intelligence, that it came up in Daniel's prophecy or his interpretation to Nebuchadnezzar. He states, speaking of the statue that would, you know, determine the different nations ruling in through a period of time in the corridors of history, but he says this about the last kingdom that was partially mixed with iron and clay. He says, as you saw the iron mixed with clay, they, speaking of that kingdom, will mix or mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in these days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up his kingdom, which will never be destroyed. And so the interesting thing is the final breaking point, I think, or the finality of that last kingdom, which we looked at, the is basically the revived Roman Empire that we see around us even today, is that within that day is when God himself will set up his kingdom in the sense that he will come back to this earth and so and intervene, because that's where mankind becomes God himself. And so in just being aware, when we think about, as we read articles like this with, you know, our Roombas that will be talking to us someday, or artificial intelligence, whether we have these Band-Aid type, you know, locators or GPS systems that we can just tape onto our skin, or Google just, you know, just put the tattoo on the neck, you know, to be able to identify.
Detect lies.
It's amazing.
It's crazy.
The technology is there. And the closer you see that intermixing, or the questions of, does a robot have a soul? What are their rights? Artificial intelligence. How much human? How much, you know, of intelligence is there as far as computer, you know, with technology? So it's just an interesting subject. So I'd like our listeners to be able to chime in either this week or by next week and to consider these
things. We actually
have
somebody on line one who wants to talk about it. 505-338-3700. I mean, it's something that we've talked about on the morning show with the dude from Google who said, in how many years? 27 years or something like that?
Yeah, he said by 2029, I think. Yeah, so not even that long.
Our robots would become self-aware, if you will. So
the singularity.
Yeah, static.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
How we doing, Steve-O?
Can't complain.
Mateo.
I just want to go watch RoboCop.
Rest of the fellas.
I'm actually doing horrible. I wanted to get a robotic leg, and now I feel stupid.
Come on.
I'm kidding. I can't afford that.
Neither can I. Don't worry.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on this whole thing?
All right. This is just the way I see it, and I'll state it at that. First of all, you know, God gave us the ability to have the knowledge to create all these things. Mm-hmm. You know, I am nothing against technology. I'm all for it. You know, the more the merrier as far as I'm concerned. We'll get ourselves in trouble sooner or later, but as far as I'm concerned, that's not for me to be worried about specifically, because, you know, God is my creator and he's my master and he knows where that line's at, and therefore I don't have to, you know. That's just where my faith is at, you know. If, you know, he's gonna decide when it starts to interfere with what he wants to do, you know.
Yeah. Interesting as we look around, you know, as we look at road signs in front of us, just when you deal with prophecy and the end times and just being aware of your surroundings in that sense of just being in tune with the pulse of the world and how things are going, you know, seeing whether it's nanotechnology with or biogenics and all that stuff. It's just interesting to see those road signs as we approach the day that we're in and lining up with when Christ shall return. The interesting thing, too, I was reading another article regarding, we were talking about Vladimir Putin, you know, in Russia, and, you know, wanting to stop what was going on and wanting to stop what's going on in Ukraine. The whole idea about that was his fear if, you know, he's wanting to protect the Jews, if you will. And it's kind of an interesting pull into things when we think about the end times with a leader like that, you know, and you think about signs like that, road signs. And here there's a whole article I was reading where he was, because he believed that the Ukraine was going to turn into more of a like the fascist, where it was like in Nazi Germany, where he believes that it would turn into a country like that. That's why he's intervening to protect the Jews so it wouldn't become another Nazi Germany. And so now he has this great love for the Jews, which is very interesting on the scene. And so that's the whole underlining thing with what's going on with Putin right now in the world. And it's very interesting, you know.
I do like what our caller said, that, you know, essentially when has technology gone too far, you know, in allowing the Lord to lead? And ultimately it is in the Lord's hand. God is sovereign. He will interject when he sees fit.
Yeah.
And technology, to a certain extent, is a neutral medium. Sure. It's what humans do with technology that make, you know, that can turn into evil. It's like, and I forgive the analogy here, but it's like if we had a gun here.
Okay.
The gun is, it by itself, it's a neutral entity. It sits there. It's mechanically made. There was design. There was purpose. But you could pick it up, and you could go do target shooting, and that's a neutral or a particular use for it. Mateo could pick it up and shoot me.
Yeah.
And that's, but it's really the human's use of that technology.
Brian, I would never shoot you.
Oh my well, gosh. Sometimes
now,
you...
Jarrett over here.
Yeah. But the reality is the caller is right in that it is sort of a neutral thing. The larger implication, though, is when technology gets rights. When does a robot, and you know, can you, and there are people, and there's a new movie out as well that, you know, his girlfriend is his phone.
Yeah.
And so when does technology have rights like humans? Mm-hmm. When does your computer being able to inherit your money after you die? All these things are real discussions ethicists are having. Don't think out there like, well, no one's talking about that when that never happened. Well, 150 years ago or 50 years ago, people were saying that about marriage. Well, no one will ever change the definition of marriage. Right. It's clear it's between a man and a woman. That's what nature says. Well, 50 years later, we have changed the definition of marriage. So the definition of personhood, of will, of all of that is on the table for discussion.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the call. 505-338-3700, talking about ethics and these rights, actually. Mateo and I got into an interesting discussion yesterday afternoon off air, and we had said, we've got to bring this to Theology Thursday, so we would love to get your thoughts on this. Did you guys see Pope Francis's comments
this week about
civil union versus marriage,
right?
And the definition for those that did not hear, I don't have it in front of me, so I can't quote it yet.
Yeah, the reality is that here's my two thoughts.
Okay,
and we should also post the new article that we did.
Yeah,
doing a shout out
for
Theology Thursday, where we tackled this very issue about homosexuality.
Yeah,
here's my two thoughts regarding that. Number one, we don't have the full story.
Right,
we have what he said, and we have what the media is saying. What he said, is it taken out of context? Is it really what he meant to say? Well, you have other people in the Catholic Church who are saying, no, he didn't really mean it as what the media has said. But the media, with its own agenda, wants to grab hold of anything and turn it into a you know, argument for their case. Now, that doesn't mean that he doesn't believe that, you know, he believes in civil unions. However, that completely goes against 2,000 years of the Roman Catholic Church's teachings.
Yeah.
So if he's willing to not only go against 2,000 years of church teaching, to go against the clear understanding of the Bible, to go against the vast majority of faithful Roman Catholic believers, he really is taking a step out of the, you know, the biblical traditional norm for the church.
And here's what Time Magazine, of course, everybody jumped on it. From Time Magazine, they wanted to stress the importance to be clear about what Pope Francis did and did not say. He did not affirm gay marriage. He did not
announce Holy See support for civil unions, period. He reiterated the traditional and non-changing Catholic teaching that marriage is between one man and one woman. His words about civil unions appear to be about health care and economic equality, not marriage itself. However, obviously it opened up a whole can of worms of should the church ever recognize, quote unquote, civil unions? Is that a redefinition in and of itself? Because that's kind of what me and Teo were talking about yesterday. Yeah. We kind of got into a discussion. It was like, okay, well, do we allow that? Because on the one hand, we were reading arguments of, okay, well, no, because that's just the consequences of their sin, of their actions. If they want to be in this relationship, then they know that that's what comes with the territory. They're not going to have those same rights. They're not going to have health care. They're not going to have these things. They're not going to be able to do the things that you can in a marriage. And then the flip side of that is...
Then you have the political stance. It's like, well, now they don't have the same rights as other
right.
people.
Right, so now they're not equal. Is this an equality issue?
I think it's a very complex issue.
It is.
And here's the reason why. In my article I just wrote, and I encourage people to get it on Static Facebook page,
because
it's something we talked about here on Theology Thursday, is... We have to argue from a Christian biblical standpoint for the church. That is our first and primary area of defense. Yeah. What the church has taught, what the Bible clearly articulates. That is our, if you will, our area of protection, where we have to fortify and really defend.
Yeah.
Secondly is the government world. Let me say just cursory. The government can't legislate morality. Laws will not change a life. The gospel of Jesus Christ will change lives. Now, laws can be enacted to help govern and to help keep intact sinful behavior. And so there are cases pro and against civil unions, because some people would say we want laws that would restrict homosexuality because we're trying to protect or govern something that is not, you know, right in God's eyes. The counter argument to that is that what you guys just pointed out, there is the human rights issue, that if this person wants to sin and this is the decision they want to make, they have that right as a free human being to do it. But again, when we're talking about the church and Christians, there's a different set of principles. There's a different set, if you will, of life standards. We're called to be holy.
Yeah.
I like that, Brian.
All right. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. We got about 5 minutes left to show. Man, we always talk about a thousand different things. Yeah. It's always fun. Yeah. I love this show. If you love Theology Thursday, make sure you get to our website, mystaticradio.com. There's so many different ways you can support us through prayer, through encouragement. Email us. Let us know what you think about the show. Or if you love it enough to financially support us, we're a listener-supported station. We have some incredible friends throughout the world who come alongside us on a monthly basis and give to keep shows like Theology Thursday going, shows or Static Radio in general going on the airwaves, because it's not cheap to do stuff.
Thank
like
you.
That. So, yeah.
You know, I would like to say I had a friend who actually personally texted me, and he has a valid question, and I just want to throw this out there. He lives in Texas.
Okay.
A buddy of mine, Toro, and he sent this to me this morning. He has a friend of his who sent a very genuine question, and so I'm going to ask Brian this, see if he can do this here. He said, hey, can you answer this for me, this one question? Where in the Bible does it talk about a non-believer that has never had the opportunity to hear God's word or the opportunity to accept him as their savior? What happens to those, even from birth, even unto an older age, if they die not being exposed to the gospel? Very honest question, a very common question.
Very common, yeah.
So, I had answered earlier in this kind of setting up for Brian, where I talked about Acts 17. I sent that to him saying, Paul had declared that, in God we live, move, and have our being, that there is a groping or a searching within the heart of man to seek for God.
Yeah.
And so God declares that all will hear the gospel and then reveals that through nature. Romans happens to be chapter 1, a very good one.
And right. And that's
probably where Brian was
going.
That's
exactly where I was going.
What would you
say, Brian? Well, exactly that, Jarrett. And again, thanks for Toro there in Texas for emailing or texting the question. But essentially, the biblical answer to that is found in Romans 1. Okay. And, you know, Paul, writing here, discusses how we know, not only through nature, but almost in an inherent stamp, fingerprint of God's creative order in our lives. We look out at the universe and we see creation. We go, man, there must be a creator. We don't look at our watch and go, I wonder how that came on my wrist and where that came from. We know that a watch means there was a watchmaker. Someone created that. There was thought, process, order that went into the making of that. So when we look out at nature, how much more when we look at trees and sky and sun and moon, we know inherently that there is a creator. That's why there's so many religions around the world. That's why so many people are seeking that answer. But Paul clearly says in Romans 1 that that is what he calls his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. That's Romans 1, verse 20. So Paul goes, you know, since the creation, since the beginning, since he formed and fashioned things, his invisible, his fingerprint, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So the answer to Toro's question is to turn to Romans 1, verse 20, and understanding that God has put, if you will, his DNA, his fingerprint on creation, and people recognize that.
Yeah, that's a powerful scripture. You know, you think about what you're saying there as listening to that, that you have the ability by seeing the things around you to be able to understand God's invisible attributes.
That's exactly
visible
right.
To the invisible. And that's powerful because God will hold that accountable even to a person. So Brian, I thought of two things when I was thinking, as you were talking about revelation. One is the general revelation and then a special or specific revelation. And that's what Brian was saying, that there is a general revelation of universe, creation, mankind, life itself, general revelation that there is a God, there is a designer. Secondly, it should move us further into the special revelation or specific, where we look at, well, how has God defined himself? What's he like? What's his character like? And we go to the scriptures as one component of that. And we see that God has predicted certain things. He's talked about who he is, the definition of himself, and through scripture and his, you know, sending his son. So let me just tell any listener who's listening to this right now and hasn't heard the gospel is really simple. And that is to believe that Christ came as a promise of God sending his son because of his love for us, to die on a cross, to be buried, and he rose again. Mm-hmm. And all you have to do is agree with what God has said about himself, that he's God, agree with what he said about you, you're a sinner, believe what he said, and confess. And the Bible says that in Romans 10, to confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, and you will be saved.
Amen.
All you need to do is do that in your own heart to the Lord, and God promises that your name will be written in the book of life. Great stuff.
Yeah,
great being
absolutely.
Here today.
Man, so. If you miss any part of Theology Thursday, mystaticradio.com/Theology Thursday, the podcast will be posted. It will be available.
It will.
Man.
Also, if if we post article, like I posted a couple of Beenix's articles, Brian Nixon's articles, and we talk about different things, you are free at any point of time to email us, post on our Facebook if you agree or disagree.
Yeah, we'd
love
to
bring your point, because that's what this is all about, is reasoning together and taking it back to the Word of God and seeing what he has to say about it.
Amen. There it is. Another show in the books. And of course, tomorrow it is Friday, a very special Friday. It's our dear friend Steve Ryman's Final Friday.
It's going to be Steve Ryman's Final Friday.
Yeah, on the air. No, he's not leaving us entirely. But however, he is leaving radio. So,
yes, he's changing.
That means no more Stever.
He's changing positions, and we're going to have to do something with Bert.
Yeah, so tomorrow should be fun. It'll be interesting. Sam Swan from the Baptist Convention of New Mexico will be joining us.
We should just make Sam do it every day.
Exactly. We're excited. We'll see what happens. That's it for us. If you missed any part of the show, check out our website, mystaticradio.com. So many podcasts there for you, resources and fun to be had all around. Until then, it's CMOS Morning Party.
Goodbye, everyone.
Adios. Static Radio.